more to you people. Starship Roconcho offer another day of broadcast insolence. I would like to, first of all, congratulate our own Kim Gordon on a very nice showing. I thought yesterday, she's a Green Bay Packers fan, and I thought that they acquitted themselves quite nicely. It was lovely that they were able to make it in the NFC Championship game.
I know how you guys feel. I can really feel your pain now.
You did say that to me, and I'm troubled by that. But it was, there was a moment where I just kind of thought there was
a little glimmer of Aaron Rodgers magic, but it just didn't last.
Yeah. As a Bears fan, though, I liked, if you were watching TV last night, the one thing late at night Fox does, like, they got the Lou Cannella show and then some Bears program, which is, I hate to say, really awkward. And it's got some of my favorite people on, but it's just awkward, just weird. And they're all trying to do the show about what the Bears would have been like, you know, if they were in the playoffs, but they weren't. And what do the Bears need for next year? And is it possible? Like during the actual game last night, the Fox promos were showing, what will the Bears do next year? And then they showed pictures of Tom Brady. Like, we're going to get Tom Brady? Kind of ridiculous. But it seemed to me that I was just as pleased by the outcome as if the Bears had won that game. I felt, is it wrong for me to feel that way?
Well, I'm just glad. If that helped you get over your Bears season, then I'm happy to help you out.
Okay.
See, that's the kind of team player that I am.
Thank you, Kim Gordon. That is very good of you. I don't know. I guess, you know, as a Bears fan, I know I'm not alone in this. I know Kevin and Lauren are not alone in this either, because let's just face it, man. Let's just face it. It's better that the Packers lose than the Bears win, because we can't control that. You know, the Packers losing at a moment like this just makes you feel better. It's liberating in some way, shape, or form. And knowing that Aaron Rodgers, this is the kind of thing that will make Aaron Rodgers mad and maybe not play as well. Unlike Tom Brady, when he gets mad, he plays better the next season. I do not get the sense that that's going to happen with Aaron Rodgers. But that could be.
You just hate to see a Packers blowout. You hate to see it.
It's the worst. Just the worst. That's all I could get out of this. And now I'm a Patrick Mahomes fan. Why? Because the Bears passed on him. So that is my pick for the Super Bowl. Speaking of picks for the Super Bowl, coming up much later in the program, they'll come back for in the 6 o'clock hour. The odds just came out on Super Bowl, all the different betting permutations, you know, now. Now the betting has made the turn here. For legality, there's going to be sports books that are opening up, and there's in Northwest Indiana, there's sports books if you want to go there. There are a lot of ways. If you've never done sports betting before, there's a lot of ways now to entertain yourself for the Super Bowl in ways that you didn't think about before, and including over-unders on Patrick Mahomes' performance, how many yards passing, blah, 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 things. And then all of a sudden you're interested in something more than just the commercials. It's the one thing I've noticed about that. So that is coming up in the 6 o'clock hour. Before we get to that, Ben Bradley will be with us, coming up just around the corner. Illinois' medical pot patients are now being impacted by the shortages. I find that to be almost, should I say this? Not true, but we'll find out from him what he has to say about that. And also, the coyote who bit the little boy has been properly identified. Police say they now have conclusive DNA evidence that this particular coyote was, in fact, the perpetrator of that crime. He is now back out on the street. Kim Fox, let him go. See what I did there? Kim Fox, coyote. And then we will talk to an expert on how to keep yourself safe from random coyote attacks. All right. Plus, I got Blackhawks tickets to give away. Pair of tickets to see the Hawks taking on the Florida Panthers tomorrow. That is tomorrow. That is Tuesday. That is tomorrow. And listen, we'll be there. Me, Kevin, Lauren, the whole crew, we're going to be out there at our normal spot, the Goose Island Pub. And if you want to come by and say hello, do whatever it is that people are generally very nice to us when they come by. Every once in a while, it gets creepy. But most of the time, people are incredibly generous. So come on by. And I think right now, the Hawks could not be hotter. And what is the big thing for tomorrow? The big thing for tomorrow is that Coach Q comes back with his Florida Panthers. And he'll be sitting there in the stadium and undoubtedly get a really, really warm reception. Keep listening after 4:30 for a chance to win those tickets. Courtesy of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing for all the right reasons. Four Seasons. Find them online at FourSeasonsHeatingCooling.com. And tune in again every Monday all season long to win a pair of Chicago Blackhawks tickets from Four Seasons. Lauren's got the traffic and the weather.
For news at 10, watch WGN, Micah Mater, Joe Donlin, Dan Rohn, and Chicago's most trusted meteorologist, Tom Skilling. For TV news at 10, watch Chicago's very own WGN.
Thank you, Kevin.
You're welcome.
Let's talk. Speaking of WGN-TV, let's talk to our own Ben Bradley from WGN-TV News.
Hello, Roe.
Where there's much action today.
Much action. But you remember a week or so ago you were making fun of me for falling and hurting myself on my vacation with mm-hmm. my wife?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, you'll feel bad because after a week hobbling around and not having it solved or get any better,
mm-hmm.
I've now realized I've fractured my fibula.
Oh, my God.
In my ankle, yeah. So I'm now on one of those little scooters.
Oh, those are fun.
Oh, very fashionable.
I love that in the street because you're like, you're just doing that because you can go faster.
Yeah, well, my favorite, it's been stolen from me so far today 3 times just in the newsroom.
Lourdes. what's the prognosis on something like that?
So I went to the doctor today, and no casts. They don't do, I don't think, too many hard casts anymore on the foot or the ankle. No surgery, but it'll be a couple of weeks of hobbling. I said to the doctor, well, can I put weight on it? He said, well, you walked around on it for an entire week, so you can't damage it any more than you already have.
Oh,
so.
Oh, that's bad news.
Yeah.
And they don't have to put a pin or anything in it.
No, thankfully. No. Thankfully. He said surgery sometimes, it's not just one surgery, because sometimes they have to go back in to take some stuff out. And yeah, very thankful. So in addition to who stole Ben's scooter today, the big discussion in the newsroom has been, how can you not tell I'm wearing sweatpants on TV today?
Oh, this will be a good game to play.
Full boot, yeah.
This will be a game to play for viewers. Tune in at 4:00 and see if you could tell that Ben is in sweatpants.
Yeah, so they're trying to find all sorts of places to hide me on the set for the wide shot.
Oh, isn't there? I know in your newscast, isn't there a time when you're standing in front of a screen?
Yeah, in front of the big vid wall. So I think they're going to stash us over at the little traffic monitor where there's a desk in front of me, so you can't tell. And then hopefully, you know, tomorrow, the next day, I'll be able to wear pants, said everyone.
Said no one ever. What is the you said you have a boot on or you don't?
Yeah,
have a
I have
boot
a boot.
On.
I don't have a hard cast.
Yeah, that they don't. You're right. They don't do that. But the boot is the big thing. Just immobilizes it. It does the same thing, except you can take it off and you don't have to worry about the itching part. You know, they're very reluctant to do surgery on ankles. I have learned that. You know, I got a bum ankle.
Yeah.
You know,
Old football injury?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. It's the reason I didn't play in the pros. Kept me out.
Had no idea that the Latin school football team was
right.
So
well, there,
rigorous.
That there was one? There wasn't. I would just like to point out that I did go to a high school that did not have a football team because the parents banded together in the 1970s and said, there will be no more football.
And they all started promptly sued each other.
Right, exactly. Yeah. That was because all of them were attorneys.
Well, I was trying to think of it. Now,
and
didn't, around your graduating time, wasn't it like Lisa Madigan, John Fritchie, you? I'm just trying to imagine that football team.
Yeah, well, I'm going to tell you right now, Lisa would have been the toughest guy on that team.
Oh, yeah.
Lisa Madigan.
Yeah.
Yes.
She'll be the one making comments about your mother at the line right before the snap.
Right. Yeah, and it was
Fritchie would have been wearing a loafer.
Yeah, John Fritchie's county commissioner, the former county commissioner. Don't tell him that. There is
sometimes I do wonder if he knows if anyone told him.
the funny thing for me is that when you go to high school and people like in Chicago like anything, right? They say, you know, where'd you go to high school? And I'll say Latin, and they all look at me quizzically. You know, like, what do you mean?
Is that the division tree?
Right. They want to know. Yeah. Right.
It's
so where'd you go? Mount Carmel.
School, is it?
So, okay, where did you guys play football? Who'd you play against?
Well, we didn't really play football because the parents were lawyers and doctors, and they just thought it would be bad for the children.
But we had these fabulous sweaters.
We had, although, you know what we did? We were quite controversial. It's a small private high school in downtown Chicago. And it basically plays the same four small private high schools, either in Chicago or the suburbs.
Right.
Same ones. Anytime you play a team that has the words Country Day a part of it.
Yes. Never have to get up to the North Shore to play Country Day school.
When the word Country Day, thank God.
The quarterback's late because he was in French class.
Well, I'm just so pleased that it wasn't Country Day. It's a terrible thing.
Yeah.
But with the university.
Somebody's like, oh, can we play St. Ignatius? No.
They're real athletes.
Yeah, they actually have helmets and stuff.
Our basketball team was actually pretty good.
Yeah?
Yeah. But they went and they did, like, recruiting to do it.
Oh.
There was, like, a whole scholarship program that league did. As a matter of fact, Kwame Raoul played against us.
Oh.
He's now the attorney general.
Yeah.
He was at University High School, right? Mm-hmm. University of Chicago High School. And that was that's who we'd play.
We're still talking about that game.
Right. Do you remember the 1982 Latin versus U High? Nobody remembers it. Nobody remembers it.
I do like, the best thing about being from Chicago is that every conversation you have with somebody new starts with, where'd you go to high school? And I can, people, when I say, I went to HF, there's some respect. They remember the year we won state. It launches to a whole another 10 conversations. Mm-hmm. But I can absolutely see how, I went to Latin.
Yeah. So, I might as well have just said, I was homeschooled. Yeah. I mean, it could just should have been that.
Look how you turned out, bro.
Yeah, it worked out great. We packed a little power for our punch over there.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That's what we did. We had a good basketball team, and then we had a girls' basketball team that actually beat another one of those schools that shall remain nameless that had Country Day at the end of it by a score of 101-0.
Really?
Yes. In 19, early 80s, had to have been. Late 70s, early 80s. And that it would made it. The next morning, I'm watching TV while I'm having my breakfast cereal.
Bran Flakes.
No. It was Frosted Flakes and Cinnamon Toast. And then by 9:45, I'd crash completely from the sugar down. And I couldn't figure
Your
it
mom
out.
Would
I
get the call from the school.
I'm like, what's wrong? It was orange juice.
Why sugar cereal before he's sending him here?
Why don't I feel good? Anyway, I was watching the CBS Morning News. Right, before they did any of these things. Before there was one
before
guy. Good Morning America.
Iteration of yes,
and Leslie Stahl was the anchor of it, and they did a story in Chicago. A girls' basketball team beats another girls' basketball team by 101-0, which set a record or something for organized basketball.
And Roe there is like it inspired him to become the male cheerleader that he is today.
Yeah. But then there was, even back then, there was a revolt against that because it was seen as, that's bullying. Why would they do that?
Oh.
Why would they keep scoring? After it was 50-0, why keep scoring?
And that was the root of today's bullying.
Yeah.
Yes. It all started back there.
What
activities were you involved in at Latin? Were you an athlete? Chess club?
Chess. That's a funny thing that you should ask. I played soccer for a while till my ankle went out. I was not good. I'm not going to tell you that I would have been in the Premier League or the whatever. What do they call this now? The major MLS?
MLS.
Yeah,
yes.
I wouldn't have been, no. But I did that.
You played a little soccer.
Yeah. And then I did a thing where I was the manager for the track and the cross country team.
Oh.
Yeah.
Clipboard
carrier. And I wrapped ankles.
You wrapped ankles?
Yep.
And brought water and jock straps.
Yeah. No, not so much. It was more of the wrapping of the ankles. And I came up with a computer program for how we set up the lineup. I invented the first algorithm. It did not work out well, however.
Matrix printer, yeah.
Yes.
Come out and be like, guys, I've got a whole new plan. You were rigging competitions before the Astros were.
Right.
Here's the thing. When I bang twice, that means start running.
Yes. Something like that. That's what I was involved in. Yeah, thanks very much. Yeah. And theater.
Of course. Well, I was on the HF Radio Club, you know.
No, really, I don't doubt that, Ben Bradley. All right, what's coming up on the news at WGN TV?
Coming up today from 4 to 7, we are looking at the shortage that's affecting marijuana sales in Illinois, some of the reasons behind it, and what's being done to meet demand, which...
Now they're saying that the medical people are getting shorted here?
Well, the medical people aren't supposed to be getting shorted because every dispensary was supposed to... you know, hold back. They're always supposed to have essentially a supply for their medical users. But demand has been going through the roof. And they only, in some ways, you know, the big cultivation operations have themselves to blame because it was their industry organization that told the state, no, you don't have to give out any more full-scale licenses. We've got demand covered. It'll be fine. But as it turns out, as has happened in other states, the supply is just not meeting up with demand. So Mike Lowe is going to report on that. Have you been stuck by a freight train for a long period of time?
This is a great story. We're going to talk about this a little bit later on.
Okay, well, I won't ruin it.
No, but go ahead.
Shannon Halligan looking at new ways for you to report getting stuck, how often it's happening, and how freight trains are longer than they've ever been. So she'll have that. Plus the coyotes that we've been reporting on for the last couple of weeks, including that one that was involved in an attack on a six-year-old boy in Lincoln Park. As we said, DNA testing over the weekend determined that a coyote that we've actually had video of, seen frequently in the Lincoln Park area, kind of limping around, that was the coyote that attacked that boy. And it turned out that coyote had been shot in the chest with a BB gun. Animal Care and Control says that might explain not only the limp, but also his aggressive behavior, because keep in mind there are hundreds and hundreds of coyotes around, and they usually do a pretty good job of staying away from people.
We had an expert that said a coyote bite is really unusual. As a matter of fact, there's never been a recorded coyote bite of a human east of the Mississippi until this kid.
Yeah.
So
pretty rare.
Yeah. So, well, that, I mean, kind of goes a long way, but that sounds like a Cook County lawyer coming up with that. Your Honor, ladies and gentlemen of the jury,
coyote was actually a victim.
My client had been shot with a BB gun.
And I don't know if you've ever been shot by a BB gun, but that'll cause you to act out.
Who carries BB guns? Children, ladies and gentlemen of the jury. Children.
This coyote was trying to protect itself from the aggressive citizens in the city of Chicago.
You know, they're not telling us what happened to the coyote now. That's the funny thing. Because, you know, they sent that coyote to the farm.
The farm?
Yeah. They said they were going to do that if the coyote tested positive.
I'm thinking the coyote's living with the alligator they caught in Humboldt
Park.
Yeah,
no, I don't think so. I know that we're going to talk about that coyote next, but the trains too, because that is a really great story. There are, you know, you see these, the trains that go by and they have got, you know, hundreds of different cars, but they're all, or hundreds of cars, but they're all the same black tanker.
Mm-hmm.
And you're wondering what in the hell is in there. There's an answer to that that will alarm you. And it goes on forever and ever and ever and ever. All right, that's coming up later on the program, too. Thank you very much, Ben Bradley.
Thank you. Good to be with you.
All right, have fun. Yep. WGN TV News at 4, 5, 6, 9, and 10. Let's check in with Kim Gordon right now. She's got the WGN Radio News.
The Wile E. Coyote, well, I'm on your side. Won't you hang in there, brother? You're bound to survive.
Guilty as charged. The coyote that bit the 5-year-old couple of weeks ago has now been positively identified as the coyote that was taken into custody by animal control officers and Chicago coppers on the scene. It is, I suppose, good news that that's the case. But when the city did announce that this was the coyote, they also pointed out that the coyote apparently had been limping, and the result that resulted from a BB gun shot into the coyote's shoulder. So that may have explained the coyote's behavior. Rebecca Fife is with us, and we've had her before talking about this. Fascinating that we now, I never thought as a kid that we'd ever be discussing wildlife like a coyote problem in Chicago, but we have it. You're director of research at Landmark Pest Management, so thank you so much for being with us. So we talked before, a couple weeks ago, this is such an unusual thing to have a coyote bite a human. It's the first recorded case east of the Mississippi, according to another expert that we talked about. So that's pretty unusual.
It's extremely rare. We had a couple of calls last year to our office where people said that a coyote came up close to them or bit at their clothing, and we reported those calls to the Department of Natural Resources, but they weren't able to be substantiated. And it's important that only substantiated cases are counted, because we receive calls every day about coyotes, and when we ask people for a photo, a good portion of them are a neighborhood dog, or some people will report to us that there's a wolf in their yard and that's a coyote. So it's really important that we only take the reports that are verified.
Right. I mean, it can be confusing, but coyotes really do look different. I mean, I think when people look at them and they go, I don't know if that's a coyote or not, it's probably not. Coyotes, when I've seen them in the streets of Chicago, they don't look like, first of all, they're walking by themselves, and they have a weird ambulation. Weird is not the right word, but they have a distinctly different ambulation from a dog.
They definitely do, and they top out around 35 pounds. So when we receive a telephone call for an 80 to 100-pound animal that people think is a coyote, that's definitely not a coyote they're seeing, or maybe they're just, you know, really overestimating the weight of the animal they're seeing.
And they're kind of strangely tall for being so light, too.
Yeah, they're very lanky.
Yeah. All right, so let's talk about this particular case. When a coyote now has been determined to have bitten somebody, we were told earlier by animal control that coyote would have to be destroyed, and especially given the fact that it had already been shot in the shoulder, that probably is how that has to go down, although we've not gotten confirmation of that yet. Would you anticipate that's the case?
I would anticipate that's the case, unless there was another coyote pulled out of the lake last week and that one did go to a rehabilitator. But I would assume that they would want to test the one that bit the child for rabies. And testing an animal for rabies involves taking a sample of its brain material. So it's a lethal test. So they're probably going to euthanize that one to test for rabies. But I'm also, just like you are, looking forward to hearing the report of what they did with it.
Yeah. All right. So one of the interesting things, I was looking at your website earlier, and you have suggestions for how people can keep coyotes out of their yards. Again, not something I thought I was going to have to ever deal with here in Chicago, but yes, we are dealing with that. The coyotes, obviously, if you don't have a fenced in yard, do you have any chance of keeping coyotes out?
You do. The first best chance is not attracting them. So we got a call from a resident last week who said, my neighbor is putting cat food out every night and I see the coyotes eating it. Do you have any information that you could type up that I could give to my neighbor? So we did that. So the first most important thing is, you know, the garbage bags that contain the, you know, meats from the kitchen and anything else coyotes might want to eat, to put those in a hard-sided can where they're not giving free meals to coyotes. And also to please not feed your pets outdoors, because one inadvertently feeds coyotes that way. So don't attract them.
And coyotes are not scavengers, right? They're picky about what they eat?
They will scavenge some human garbage, and they also hunt small prey.
Did I read that you lost a pet to a coyote?
I did. So I empathize really deeply. It was my childhood pet, and it wasn't a dog or cat. It was a rooster, and his name was Buck Buck. And we lived on a 5-acre farm in Wheeling, and Buck Buck was really cool. And every time I would stop walking, he would sit on my foot. And one day we came home, and there was just a pile of feathers on the ground.
Oh, God.
And, and a coyote running off, and it was really obvious that Buck Buck had, you know, been taken, been eaten by coyotes.
Oh, boy. So this is personal for you in a lot of ways, probably, right?
It is, and we hear from a lot of clients who've lost their small pets, and we empathize really deeply with them. And the best advice we have to protect pets is to walk them on a 6 to 8 foot leash. And if coyotes are seen in the area, to seek to haze the coyotes. Hazing is probably the most important thing to remind coyotes to be mannerly.
Okay, now hold on 1 second. Hold on. I want you to define that, but I got to take a quick time out here. And then can we do it on the other side? Can you?
Sure.
All right, hold on 1 second. I want to hear how one hazes a coyote. I'm sure it's not what you're thinking. Does not involve drinking, I don't think. Lauren Lapko, what's happening on the roads and the skies? It's Ro Khan Show right here on 720 WGN. We're talking with Rebecca Fife, and she's at a company that deals with coyotes, Landmark Pest Management. And what's interesting about Rebecca is that you deal with like the urban wildlife issue, right? Isn't that your specialty?
We do.
And that's,
yes, we help about 10,000 homeowners and community associations a year just in Chicago and the five surrounding counties.
So it's when you say urban wildlife, the coyotes become a big part of that. And I know you guys are crazy busy right now because of the coyotes in the news. But what else is in that?
Raccoons, skunks, squirrels, possums, beaver, muskrat, mice and rats, as well as insect pests. Like ants, cockroaches, bed bugs.
Yeah. Yeah. And we don't have to get down to the insects. And like, let's stick with stuff with fur on it. All right. So back to the coyote thing. You were talking about making sure that if you have a, you know, for whatever outdoor space you have in your house, around your house, you want to make sure that you don't leave food out. You want to make sure that you haze the coyotes so they don't want to come to your property. What does that mean?
We have almost daily community lectures scheduled because people are so hungry for this information. And we do free lectures for any group of 15 people. So that's a community association, a library might schedule us. And what we're teaching is this exact curriculum, and hazing is really the center of that. And when we were, when people farmed and raised livestock, we were very accustomed to keeping coyotes off of our properties or destroying coyotes, and coyotes were fearful of people. But now people have the opposite behavior, and they actually behave deferentially to coyotes. So if you're out walking a small dog and you see a coyote, it might be your natural instinct to run away from the coyote or shy away and say, hey. Because that teaches the coyote to be more dominant and more aggressive toward humans. So what the right thing to do is to say, coyote, no, get out of here, stomp, clap your hands, try to look as big as you can. And the coyote will, you know, to anthropomorphize, to attribute human emotions to the coyote, will say, this guy is crazy, and will go the other way. Will think that you're, you know, somewhat dangerous, not a direct threat to it because you're not, you know, cornering it or doing something that would make it aggress toward you, but you're showing that you're an unpredictable and potentially forceful element, and you're teaching it to give you a wider berth.
So, well, that's good if you're actually confronted by a coyote, right? But don't coyotes kind of avoid us anyway? I mean, unless they're being fed.
No, they don't necessarily avoid us anymore. So it's very common now that we get a call and someone tells us that a coyote, you know, frequently passes within 20, 30, 50 feet of them in their own yard or while they're walking their pet. And when we instruct those homeowners to haze those coyotes that are cutting through their properties, they say that when they implement that hazing and the coyote just makes a sharp turn and darts away the other direction, that after a couple of times of doing that, that coyote might take a different path instead of going through their yard where they walk their small pet.
So bigger dogs, are coyotes afraid of them?
You know, it depends. In pupping season, when coyotes are defending their territories more heavily, they might see a big dog as a threat and potentially attack it so that it's not a risk to their pups. But in general, a coyote will not view a large dog as a food source. So in the instance of small dogs, they're generally attacked but not killed, and they're attacked much less frequently than people's small dogs, cats that are allowed outdoors, or unfortunately, my pet rooster, Buck Buck.
Yes, I know. We're trying to think of what we can do for you and Buck Buck.
He's a beautiful rooster.
I've never really heard those words put together before, but okay, I get it. Let's talk about how people can create. You guys do traps, and this was amazing to me when I was reading about this, which is there are dens. This can happen to like a house, even in the city, where the coyotes will come in and they will den, especially, you know, the a whelping mom or what, you know, whatever it is, and they'll go underneath a house. They'll find their way underneath a staircase, however it works, right? And we've seen that with skunk, and we've seen that with possum and other things like that throughout time. But now coyotes, you would think, well, no, they wouldn't do that. They would go to some wooded area, but that's not the case. In the city, they're looking for niches like this, and you guys have a product for that.
We do. We have a process. So we're a scientific firm, so we do a lot of research and development. And the conventional traps that are on the market for coyotes in Illinois don't work that great. So you can use a cage-style box trap, but those are really hard to capture the adult coyotes with. If you put them outside of a den site, you usually only end up with pups. And then the other trap...
So why is that harder to get? Because they're smarter or because they're bigger?
Because they're smarter, because no matter how big we make that trap, and even if we play rabbit distress calls and use, you know, some raw chicken in there with the distress calls playing, we still generally just get the pups. I mean, sometimes we'll get an adult, but it's really rare. It's not terribly effective for capturing adult coyotes. And then the other trap, the leg hold trap, is a high risk for accidental captures of deer, dogs, kids. And when that trap closes, it closes pretty hard. So while it certainly couldn't, amputate, a child's foot or hand, it could potentially break a bone. If a kid poked their hand in it, they could get a broken finger.
I don't like the idea. That's in all those movies where people are running around and all of a sudden they get caught in that thing. I don't like it.
Yeah. So that's not an acceptable option either. So what we've devised is when someone has a coyote denning under their stoop, their deck, or their shed, we install a box trap in a special way called a barricade set that forces the coyote into the trap. And the way that we do that is we excavate all the way around the structure by burying underground fencing in a trench that's 12 inches deep and goes 12 inches out and angles outward. And that way the coyote can't dig around the trap because the underground fencing, which is expanded steel, has been buried there. It's forced to go in the trap. And then we just empty the trap again and again until all the coyotes are out of there. And then we close up the last portion and remove the trap. And not only have we solved the coyote problem, but that homeowner, that community association or office will never get coyotes under that structure again because the buried fencing will protect it, not just from coyotes penetrating beneath it, but any type of wildlife, raccoons, skunks, possums, woodchucks.
Things I never thought I would ever be discussing on the radio. To the phones we go, 312-981-7200. Mike, you're in Belvedere. Welcome to WGN.
Hey, Ro, how are you? Yeah, no, I couldn't. I caught the tail end, like, middle half of this, but couldn't agree more. We live out in Belvedere, because somewhat rural out here, and the hazing piece works very well. A little bit more aggressive. We were, like, bought a vacant home, and coyotes were using our yard as a game run, and they were actually full-on hunting the dogs. We had a bunch of sliding glass door, and I'm not sure if she recommended it, but I got so frustrated with it that I took a trip to Indiana and bought some black cat fireworks, which worked very well. Chicago, not so much. I get it.
Thank you for understanding the problem.
No problem. That would probably freak some people out.
Yeah. Often a black cat will return fire, right? I mean, that's the sort of thing. You drop that off, and God knows what else is going to come at you. But go ahead.
Indeed. But, yeah, I mean, I think there's a little more freak out on this whole thing than I understand that people have been bit. But, I think it's just a lot of common sense preventative medicine as far as leaving food out, scraps. Making sure there's chains over the trash cans down there in downtown because I do work down there.
Yeah.
Food sources, things like that. But, good thing to have on to kind of calm everybody down in the city because, out in Belvedere, it's just preventative medicine and we keep them out.
Mike, thanks very much. Appreciate it. And Rebecca Fife, thank you so much. Director of Research at Landmark Pest Management. If people want to get a hold of you guys because it sounds like there are a lot of people trying to get a hold of you. Rebecca, thanks so much for being with us. Appreciate it. We've got the news from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom coming your way in two. Radio Chicago, WGN. Ro Khan Show right here on 720 WGN. And there was a news story that Kim Gordon did that has me completely freaked out. And that is, why, how, who thinks this is a good idea to have your the palm of your hand become your credit card? Yes, you heard me say it. That's exactly what the plan is here. The palm of your hand. Amazon is doing this. Amazon is testing right now the use, and you could choose, right or left hand. I don't know. I'm more of a right-hand guy myself. Testing the ability for scanners to determine whether your hand can actually be so unique. Is it more unique than facial recognition? More unique than retinal recognition? Probably not. But what it is something people are willing to do. People are not willing to do facial recognition, or they won't sign up for it. People are not willing to do retinal recognition because they think it's going to hurt their eyes. And they don't want to use their fingerprints. So Amazon is trying to come up with a system that allows you to be able to go into a store. This would be bricks and mortar. It wouldn't necessarily work with them on their computer, although who knows, that could happen too. Where you actually swipe your hand underneath a machine, and then it knows who you are, and it pays automatically on whatever credit card is assigned to your hand, as opposed to just handing the credit card with your hand. It seems to me that that would be okay, because your hand, you need to do something with your hand. You might as well put the credit card in it. The thing that drives me absolutely batty about this is that for years and years and years and years and years and years, people were so concerned about their own privacy. It used to be that if you brought up the idea of like a national identity card or a, credit cards that had too much information on them, people would be like, yep, well, that's bad, because eventually they're going to know where I am, or they're going to try to take advantage of that. The government's going to come after me. Any of those sorts of things. And now we just give that stuff away. Like the real ID. Right? You just go in, you got to get the real ID. If you want to drive, you're going to need, or you want to fly in a plane, eventually it'll be for driving, but you want to fly in a plane, you got to get the real ID. Because after the first couple of years, as your driver's license starts to expire, they're going to replace it with the real ID. And that's a national identity card. Okay. People were like so afraid to do that. And now we go on the internet, and we, as soon as we hit that little thing about accepting cookies, right? When you go on there, what is that doing? It's going into your computer, and it's knowing what you do. It's knowing the sites you look at. It knows the purchases that you make. It looks at the things that you return to. It knows what's in your carts. Sometimes people go to a site, and they start to buy stuff, and then they forget about it, and they go away. Those cookies are looking at all of that. We've lost our ability to protect ourselves. It's all over. And now Amazon wants to use your hand. It's bad enough that they have everything else. They want to make it as simple as possible to identify you. And I'm not like a crazy security nut. I'm not. I'm not one of those people that thinks that the government's out to get me. I think a little bit more now than I did, but I still am. That's not where I come from here. I don't like the idea, though, that they get to make a decision, not just they, but the people then you have to pay to keep you safe or whatever it is, whether it's your health insurance or your homeowner's insurance or those kinds of things. Those people will also have access to all of this information, not so much your hand, but the other Google kind of things. If you have Gmail and you have Google, everything that now Google has all that information on you. Facebook has all that information on you. All of these different organizations, all these different websites have all that information. And what are they doing with that information? You say, well, they're blindly selling to other marketers. Don't worry about it. They don't know who you are. Well, they do. They know exactly what your IP address is. And why do they need to know that? So that they can then hit your IP address. The people who are buying that information from them hit your IP address with exactly the kind of advertising, whatever it happens to be. Whether it's, you happen to like a certain type of shoe, or you happen to like a certain type of food, or when you go to Grubhub, you always order the same kind of thing. That tells them everything they need to know about you. And there's 62 different personality profiles that they've tried to identify to send silos of people to send mass advertising to. But they can go really, really, really granular here, and they can figure out little things about you, and it drives me nuts. It's like the thing where you're walking in your house, you're talking to somebody, you're talking to your spouse in the house, you mention something, and the next thing you know, you go on Facebook and there's an ad for it. How do you think they know that? They know that because they know all of these things. And now, again, Amazon wants to use your palm. It freaks me out. Should freak you out, too. 312-981-7200. We'll get to that in just a second. If you have thoughts on that, or you would you prefer to use your hand? That's not how it sounded. You know what I mean? Would you prefer to make it easier for them to figure out how to pay? Because it's too hard to actually reach into your pocket and grab a credit card. And eventually the credit cards are going to have identification features on them anyway. I'm surprised they don't already. Some of them do where they have a picture of you. That's the next step for every credit card. They just don't know how to make that look pretty and put your picture on at the same time. And that's really one of the problems. It screws up their marketing. But that's the future, or using your phone to do it. Things that are less hackable. But your hand could be hackable eventually. Somebody could do a fake hand or take your hand. All right, we'll get to your phone calls at 312-981-7200. First, Lauren's got the traffic and the weather.
Early morning, stay safe and stay connected with Morgan Kochmeyer's weather forecast and Sarah Ginger's traffic reports weekdays 4 to 6 on WGN-TV Morning News.
Thank you, Kevin Powell.
You're welcome.
Yeah, thank you. Talking about security. Talking about your life right now. Not Kevin's life, your life. My life. All of our lives. Amazon. I love what they've done in terms of making it easier for me to get toilet paper at home. I hate buying toilet paper at the store. I hate buying big paper towel things at the store. I hate buying any kind of big stuff. I like to pretend I'm in a French market every time I go to the store, even though it's the Jewels at the end of the corner. I don't like to take the big stuff out. So I go to Amazon. I am send stuff. As a matter of fact, I sometimes order things from Amazon I don't really need just because I like the fact that I'm getting something. It's like every day is Christmas with Amazon. I'm not criticizing Amazon. But what I am criticizing is this idea, this new idea that they've got, to actually use your hand to identify you. It's bad enough. It's bad enough that they want to know everything there is to know about you using your computer or whatever else is available. I don't understand why they need my hand. Jack, you're on WGN, 312-981-7200 is their number. Go ahead, Jack.
Oh, hey, how are you doing?
Good.
You were talking about Amazon and stuff, and I identify with that. You know, you look for something on Amazon, you flip over to Facebook, and immediately you've got an ad on your Facebook for what you were just looking for Amazon. But what struck me was you're talking about the hand thing, and I remembered, I think it was Minority Report, where like Tom Cruise's character is walking down the street somewhere, and the digital billboards at street level are addressing him by name as he's walking past them. And that kind of struck me.
Well, that technology is already there. That's the funny thing, and it's using your phone. As a matter of fact, on the highway, when you're going home or you're going anywhere, some of those electronic billboards are looking for phones that are sending them a signal that are telling them that there's a certain number of people who would be customers of a certain service or product. And then that billboard goes to that ad. They're literally geofencing some of this stuff already. It's already happening. And so you mentioned Minority Report. One of the other stories that's related to this today is about how college students are starting to rebel against having their picture taken for the student ID, you know, that you have to have, that the student ID being used for facial recognition. Colleges are saying, hey, check this box if you don't mind us using it so we know where you are on campus. We can identify where you are if you're going to the library, you're doing this, you're doing that, to keep you safe, is what they say. But what is the reality of that? The reality is, and that's what the real ID is, too. Like, when you go, I know I'm starting to sound a little like a nut. I'm not trying to sound like a nut. I'm just saying that we need to be fully aware of what the ramifications of this are. Because I always feel like an idiot, like the example you just gave, Jack. I feel like an idiot when all of a sudden something shows up on I'm on a news story, and all of a sudden a Google ad pops up in front of me, and it's for something that I talked about but never, you know, purchased, right? And I'm like, how do they know that?
Well, I know, it's amazing. It's interesting how, you know, it's like the Star Trek, you know, the old 60s TV show Star Trek, where you're looking at all these things and you're really realizing, wow, they're all coming to pass. You know, you watch these movies and you're like, And you're thinking, no, that can never happen. And then 5 years later, well, it's already happening. You know, it's just kind of amazing.
The only thing I want from Star Trek is the ability to have surgery with a guy just waving a wand over me. That's the only thing I want from Star Trek. That's it.
They have to open you up for it.
Yeah, they just, all of a sudden, you know, they got a guy, goes, I'm going to lie down on this table, and they go, whoop, and then, okay, you're fine. Cancer's gone.
Yeah.
All right, thanks, Jack.
You don't have to worry about the infection. Thanks.
Thanks, appreciate it, Matt. You're on WGN. Go ahead, Matt.
Hey, guys, great show, as always. But I'm an Uber driver, and about 2 years ago, I was carjacked, and not by a passenger, but just by random folk. And they took my wallet and a whole bunch of stuff. And I'm pretty much always afraid to carry around my stuff anymore. So on one hand, I do understand where they're going with the hand thing, because it's, I guess it could be more secure, because I mean, let's be real. Who's, unless you're in some crazy country where the cartel is going to chop off your hand, your random hoodlum's not going to try to take your hand. They're just going to try to take your wallet. So I understand where that's coming from. On the other hand, being a child of the 80s and 90s, has nobody ever seen Terminator? Like, really?
Well, you see, this is, I hate to say this, but this really is the problem, Matt, is that all of this is coming true. I used to think, okay, so years and years and years ago, if this ever came up on talk radio, it was always... people would call, it was always about the stealing of, you know, people's future, right? That was always the concern, is that if they got this, if, you know, any kind of entity was able to get this kind of information on you. I will never forget that the government did a program where they were putting GPS locators, and this is back in the 90s, so really rudimentary compared to what there is today, 30 years later. They were putting GPS locators on stop signs in small towns. And the small towns were, you know, all of a sudden you got a truck there and they're playing with the stop signs. So they started asking questions. It became a big sort of grassroots problem. Like that the government's there and the government's going to send shock troops in and, you know, take everybody's guns away and, you know, put them all in camps or whatever. You know, stuff like that happens in these small towns where these rumors get started. And they did back then. You know, now that there's an internet, you know, we're safe from false rumors. But when they were putting these GPS locators on the stop signs, people were like, well, they're going to be able to know that I drove through that, or they're going to be following me, or my GPS is going to know that, or the cell phone, originally the car phones, right, which were cell phones, they're going to be able to know those things about me. And that was so quaint and cute and adorable when you think about it by comparison to what it is today. Right now they know everything about us, and we've given it up. And there's no hope. We've given it up for our own convenience. And there's no hope that we're ever going to be able to recapture that. That's why, okay, now I'm really going into, like, nut phase here. But people who are going out and getting the DNA testing, right? You see the commercial, and all of a sudden that you're related to some count in Transylvania.
Yeah,
and you think you're going to get a castle, right? Or you find out that your great uncle was the dictator of Ecuador. Well, okay, great. All right, fine. You have learned something about yourself. But what that is being used for is to create profiling. It's creating medical profiling. It's creating a proclivity for you and your children and your grandchildren and all that to create a record so people can figure out, so that businesses and, you know, potentially other people who could control your outcomes will be able to know what is likely to happen for you, right? And that's, and we know, so where does individuality come back into this? Where does that, where can you stop and say, listen, I'm an individual, you have to assume my future is as unknown as everybody else's future. The problem is that people's futures are being known, and they're being predicted by these companies. They're being predicted by, whether it's 23andMe or it's the, you know, it's now, you know, Amazon. Amazon's one of the biggest proponents of this kind of technology, because what they want, right? They want it because all they want right now out of the world is to be able to sell you something you weren't quite sure you needed, then ask you 1 million times to grade it after you've already gotten it, and then to sell the same things to your kids and keep moving forward and forward and forward like that. And it's just, it makes me feel sad, I suppose. There's nothing else I can say about that. Matt, thanks very much, man. Anyway, I appreciate it.
Yeah, of course.
All right, thanks. All right, coming up on the program, we have got a moment of celebration. Chris Bowden is going to be here, and we're going to talk about Patrick Kane, our beloved Patrick Kane from the Chicago Blackhawks, 1,000 points now scored by Patrick Kane. That includes goals and assists, of course, and he is the youngest Blackhawk to ever hit that 1,000 point, and top two or three youngest ever to hit that?
Correct, yes. Yeah.
So we're going to talk about that, and as the Blackhawks are now on a roll and a half as they head toward the All-Star break.
Yep, five straight wins, Ro. That's the longest of the season, and they're making it interesting. They're making it very interesting, and hearing the players talk after the game, they've got some serious confidence in the locker room after this stretch here. As it stands, they're 3 points back of the Coyotes, who own the second wild card. So the two wild card teams, as of now, each have 57 points, the Hawks with 54. So they're right there.
Right there. That's all they wanted to be. Yeah. So we'll talk to Bodie about that. Also, this gets a little weird, too. Top 5 of 5, of course, which doesn't get weird. But I don't know if you are familiar with this Richard Roper. He's going to be here to talk about whether or not Jennifer Aniston is getting back together with Brad Pitt. Some reason, that seems to have become the story of the day. That those two are, America is demanding, now that Harry and Meghan are no longer royal, they're demanding that Brad Pitt and Jennifer Aniston get back together.
Pitt's on the prowl again. You can just tell.
We're going to play that. In the top 5 of 5, we will play that that speech that he gave last night, because that's exactly what he was doing. He mentioned he's going to change his Tinder profile and add the fact that he won a SAG award to it. That tells you everything you need to know. Oh, you know who else is going to be here, too? Lisa Goranson's going to be here. She's Becky Connor on Roseanne. She was Becky Connor, then she wasn't Becky Connor. Now she's Becky Connor again on Roseanne, even though they have two Beckys on that show somehow. I don't know how they worked that whole thing out. She's going to be here. They're doing a Connors watch party here in Chicago for the ABC show, because there's a Bears-Packers episode that's going to be premiering tomorrow night, and they're going to be doing this watch party at Joe's on Weed Street, and she's going to be here to tell us all about that. All right? Okay. So everybody, stay close. We'll come right back. In the meantime, 312-981-7200 is always our phone number, and Kim Gordon is always in the WGN newsroom, and she's got the news right now. Mega Pros Joe. God love him. All right. Coming up, your chance, just minutes away, to rip us off for Four Seasons Blackhawks tickets. That's right, every Monday, courtesy of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing, for all the right reasons. Four Seasons, find them online at fourseasonsheatingcooling.com, and tune in every Monday all season long to win a pair of Chicago Blackhawks tickets from Four Seasons. I've got tickets to tomorrow night's game, and we're all going to be there. It's not just going to be me and Kevin and Lauren. It's going to be you, too. At the game, we're doing our pre-game show from out there tomorrow. And Chris Bowden will, of course, be out there, as he is as well, every home game. He is our Blackhawks pre-game, post-game commentator extraordinaire. And
I'm not going to go tomorrow night. There's nothing going on. So
tomorrow night,
all you guys,
is the night that Joel Quenneville returns to the United Center. To be, I think he's going to get the warmest reception. I think he's going to get, although Jeremy Colleton is on a win streak, so I think that people will be nice to him. There's been a lot of boos when they've introduced him over the last, throughout this season. But I think Hugh's going to get a huge round of applause tomorrow night.
Yeah, it's going to be a pretty emotional night. And, even after all his heroics last night, or the one assist last night, to reach 1,000, Patrick Kane was asked about that as his little media scrum wrapped up. And he said it's going to be a meaningful night for him, for all the players who have played under him, and all the people in the building as well, because if you think championships and mustaches, Ica, Quenneville, I don't know.
Yeah,
I got to go with Q.
Oh, you mean who's got the better mustache? I thought you were going to suggest that Jeremy Colleton should get a mustache. Should, like, grow one. Because I would guess if you tried to grow one, it would come in, like an eighth grader. You know, where it's just sort of like the little Fu Manchu kind of thing. Soft hair.
I don't know. He's got a pretty strong beard. If Jeremy doesn't shave for a day, it's
really?
Coming in pretty strong. So yeah, oh. Yeah, I think so.
Surprises
yeah.
me.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, he still doesn't have
breaking it down here.
He doesn't have these. He doesn't have the championship stash though. He just doesn't have it. All right. So could tell me a little bit about why people should be so impressed that Patrick Kane got to this point when he did of 1,000 points scored.
Well. Even though he's number 90, and 90 sounds like a lot when you think about the league going all the way back to 1926.
In terms of total points.
And yeah, in terms of goals and assists, and also to do it in this type of fashion where the Blackhawks have had a lot of great teams, he's had a lot of great teammates, but the fact that he has done it in less than 1,000 games is even more impressive. And the type of player that he is, he's not the big hulking type. And granted, some other players have reached that milestone with a similar style of play. But the fact that he has sustained this for so long in year number 13, and he's only 31 years old, that in itself is amazing. And there seems to be a lot more to come. So my only regret was, I saw it like, everyone other than 22,000 people who were in the building saw it because I was already downstairs getting ready for my post-game show. So I watched it on a TV monitor like everybody else except for those who were in the bowl at the time, and I didn't see the celebration, kind of unfold in person. So that was my only regret, but we're splitting hairs here because been a great player to watch all these years and a great guy to be around. And he joined us in the post game show last night, and always very gracious with his time too.
Yeah, it seems that number that you just said that he scored 1,000 points in fewer than 1,000 games. I think it's 950 or something games that he played. So that's just a little bit over a point. 1.0 something points per game. So assuming that he keeps up even close to that for the next couple of years, he has a real opportunity to move up into the top 10 points of all times in the NHL.
Oh, sure. I mean, he's with every passing game, he's climbing. By the time, I have to look it up again, but by the time this season is over with, he'll probably be well into the 80s as well. He's talking about playing till he's 40. And the way he's going right now, and the way he takes care of himself, and the way he loves the game, and is always trying to improve, I can clearly see that happening. So, whether he can continue to produce at that particular rate that he has so far, I'm not sure, especially as we get a little bit later on. But if he does want to play till he's 40, man, there's going to be a whole lot more damage done as far as those milestones and where he is on that list.
Chris Bowden, our Blackhawks expert, tell me why you think this last 3 weeks have been the turnaround moment. I mean, obviously it's because of the wins, but what's different?
Well, I ask that because I've been thinking about it now over the last couple of weeks, because this is exactly what the team did last year. They got hot right before the All-Star break. It's like, we don't want this, week-long, 9-day break to happen because they're finally finding their groove now. And they were able to continue it a little bit after the All-Star break, get back into a playoff spot momentarily. So I asked Troy and I asked even Patrick when he was on with us last night, what's different this year? And both of them said, they're just playing a type of game that's a little bit more sustainable defensively. They've improved defensively from where they were a year ago and from earlier this season. They got back into the race when the power play was just red hot and they were just basically outscoring people. And while, they've been able to do that a lot here during this recent stretch, I think you combine that with, just the superb goaltending that they've had this season. And, I think that gives it a more realistic chance to continue this and, make it a more real opportunity to eventually make the playoffs when all is said and done this season.
Well, it certainly feels different than it has in seasons past. I remember last year, exactly right, there was this run-up right before the All-Star break that, the second half. But they came out slow out of the second half, too. I mean, that They had a problem that they came out slow. Then they, like you said, worked their way back up into playoff contention, and then it just, you know, the bottom fell out. And obviously you don't want to have that. There were some injuries. We've had a ton of injuries already this year, but it seems like they've adjusted to them. So there's that. All right, tomorrow night it's a big one. And right now, if you want to join us tomorrow night, 312-981-7200. You can join us at the game tomorrow night. Come by and say hello to us at the Goose Island Pub where we're doing our pre game. We do the pre before Bodie does the pre, and then there's the game, and then there's the post. And we do not do the post, at least not for the public, if you know what I know. If you know what I mean.
Maybe tomorrow night. Maybe tomorrow night you'll have to do that.
Oh boy. I don't think you want that, Chris Bowden. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
All right, no problem. Good talking to you.
312-981-7200, as I said, 19th caller. It's all brought to us by Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing for all the right reasons. Four Seasons. Find them online at fourseasonsheatingcooling.com and tune in every Monday all season long for your chance at Blackhawks tickets. Shall we check in now with Lauren Lapka, Blackhawks fan extraordinaire?
Sure. I'll tell you the weather and traffic. How about that?
Okay. I had one of those things happen to me earlier today. This is slightly unfortunate. Where I was a piece of tuna salad went down the wrong pipe, and I swear to God, I feel like I have a fish swimming in my lung. If I should go down during the show, in order of appearance, I just want Kevin and Lauren to take over real strong. Yeah, just remember me. Just remember me fondly and kindly. All right. My mother called me over the weekend, and she said to me, and sounded a little something like this. Well, why did Prince Harry marry that whore? And I'm like, I had this moment where I'm like, is this my mother? What had happened here? I said, what? She's like, she's just awful. She's ruining the whole royal family. And I'm like, I'd never heard my mother care about the royal family or, you know, whatever it is. It's like, when did all of a sudden this happen? When did this become such an incredible controversy? You know, I've watched The Crown. This is how Queen Elizabeth became queen. Well, you had a guy decided when he married an American woman, I think that's part of the problem, that he didn't want anything to do with royalty anymore. The only unfortunate thing about that was he was king at the time. But in this case, this guy is never going to be king. She's never going to be queen. And somehow, this has become a great American controversy. I don't understand. Okay, so Prince Harry was at this event that she was not at. She apparently has just landed in Vancouver with their child, with Archie. I always forget this. It is Archie, right? Because I get his name confused with my kid's dog's name, Ernie. And I keep thinking the one is the other. It is Archie. Yes? Yes. Okay, thank you. She's already landed. She's happy. There's pictures of her getting off the airplane. And there's stories about how she did this. She's all completely excited about it. She's the only one that's happy about it. The royal family is devastated that this guy who is like 16th in line now to become king is not going to become king because he married this girl from America who's an actress. She's a whore. Thank you, Mom. He was speaking to this group in Africa, and he just decided, you know what? I'm done with this. I got to tell you what's going on in my head.
You've come to know me well enough over all these years to trust that the woman I chose as my wife upholds the same values as I do, and she does. And she's the same woman I fell in love with. We both do everything we can to fly the flag and carry out our roles for this country with pride. Once Meghan and I were married, we were excited. We were hopeful, and we were here to serve. For those reasons, it brings me great sadness that it has come to this.
What am I missing here? What is it that has happened that... What difference does it make? And when they say served, that means he goes to shopping mall openings, right? Or every once in a while, there's somebody else, some baby is born or some other royal something or another happens, and then they show up and they stand in a line. And again, he's like 16th person away from the queen. His own father, right? His father is next in line, then his brother, then his nephew. And if his nephew finds a kid in kindergarten that he likes, that person's going to be in line before Prince Harry is.
The decision that I have made for my wife and I to step back is not one I made lightly. It was so many months of talks after so many years of challenges. And I know I haven't always gotten it right, but as far as this goes, there really was no other option. What I want to make clear is we're not walking away. And we certainly aren't walking away from you. Our hope was to continue serving the Queen, the Commonwealth, and my military associations, but without public funding. Unfortunately, that wasn't possible.
In other words, we needed the dough. But if you want us to serve, we got to get paid. But if we're going to make our own money, because they are going to make mad bank, as the kids like to say, on the other side of this. Because when they get back to this side of the pond, even though they have to technically live in Canada, because that's, I think, part of the deal, because it's still, you know, his grandmother is still on the money in Canada, on the dollar bill. So they will stay there technically, but they'll be spending a lot of time in Southern California, would be my guess, or other parts. Maybe they'll grab a place in New York. They're going to be gigantic celebrities here. And that's more money than it is to be the 16th in line to be the king in England while you're there. Right? I mean, he gets the castles, but who wants the castles? And let's face it, the one thing I do actually have sympathy for in all of this that is kind of ridiculous is that the press was hounding the crap out of the two of them as soon as they got married. And the British press was doing it for a bunch of different reasons. And apparently the American press is doing it for some of the same reasons too. And I don't really fully understand that. But there is this notion that she was a commoner, that she's an American, that she's, you know, half African American, half Jewish. She's got like, there's a lot of racism and anti-Semitism and other things that kind of go into why the Brits were mad at her there. I don't know why that would translate here, but I think in some cases it is translating here. The people are like, oh, I can't believe this. It doesn't matter. We fought a war 250 years ago, so we don't have to care about this, right? We don't want to have to call somebody their Royal Highness, and they're going to come here, and they're going to be gigantic reality stars, and she's going to start selling you her own brand of whatever it is. It's going to be Royal Loofahs for $100, an item that costs 50 cents to make. She's going to sell it for $100, and these people are going to make hundreds of millions of dollars of their own money here in the Americas and around the world, because they're going to be bigger, bigger than the royal family itself. Anything else from His Royal Highness, formerly?
I've accepted this, knowing that it doesn't change who I am or how committed I am. But I hope that helps you understand what it had come to, that I would step my family back from all I have ever known, to take a step forward into what I hope can be a more peaceful life. I was born into this life, and it is a great honor to serve my country and the Queen.
And he was a real dude, too. I mean, he had gone to war. I mean, he wore the uniform. He was, you know, it wasn't like he was just flying around in a helicopter and landing on a deck and then taking off and landing on a deck again like some of his other relatives did, which is, you know, still not so easy, but it is what it is. He actually went off to war. He actually fought in Afghanistan. I mean, he's like he's the real deal. And I welcome them. I welcome them. If they would like to be royalty, I will welcome them as our royalty.
I will always have the utmost respect for my grandmother, my commander-in-chief, and I am incredibly grateful to her and the rest of my family for the support they have shown Meghan and I over the last few months. I will continue to be the same man who holds his country dear and dedicates his life to supporting the causes, charities, and military communities that are so important to me.
All right. I don't get it. Still do not fully understand what has happened here. And they're saying that they're devastated in England to have lost him as to part of the royal family, because he's running away to the Americas with this, you know, crazy vixen. I'm going to tell you right now, all these people who are so upset about this, that it's about something else. I can promise you that. And it's not the purest of intentions. Because, you know, his mother died because of the attention that she was getting. Those two kids, they grew up in the shadow of that. And if anybody has a right to step away and to stop and to say, you know what, I don't want to do this anymore, they have the right. So I welcome His and Her Royal Highness, Princess Markle, back to the United States of America.
It's the top five on the Rokan Show.
Five.
Let's go.
Four, three, two, one.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokan Show, sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
All right, if you say so. Richard Roper stepped in the studio. He's going to talk to us a little bit later on about a couple of different things, including the Screen Actors Guild Awards, which were last night.
Yeah, it started reignited a feud I've had with Brad Pitt on and off, so I'll explain that a little bit. You know, oddly enough, kind of similar to the storyline in the premiere episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm, which we're going to talk a little bit
about. And that we were told that that is going to be something very different this year, and it is already proven to be that.
Yeah.
It's a very interesting bit of Larry basically burying himself as a comedic force. We'll tell you about that later on. All right. Shall we start with the top five? Yes,
please.
Let's do that.
Number five.
Aaron Rodgers spoke to me. I'm sorry, Kim, I have to do this. Aaron Rodgers spoke to the media following his team's 37-20 loss over to the 49ers. In the NFC Championship game, Rodgers says that he feels as though the Packers have a good group. And they're not far from competing with elite teams like San Francisco. And he believes that playing in Green Bay could have made a difference in this one, but finds this loss particularly disappointing since he knows how hard it is to get to this point.
It definitely hurts, I'd say, a little more than early in their career, just because you realize just how difficult it is to get to this spot. And with all the changes this offseason and with all the installation of a new system and a new program, to get to this point, you felt like it was something special because it, you know, just didn't really make sense. You know, we weren't picked by most people to win our division.
Oh, God.
And we found a way to not only do that but win a home playoff game and get to this spot. Just kind of felt like it was meant to be almost. So that is a little disappointing. A little more disappointing. Then you realize, you know, I don't have the same number of years ahead of me as I do behind me.
So when you're dying?
It's slightly more disappointing.
It's a weather-related sniffle.
That's
there.
Honesty, Roe.
Yeah. The big problem, I think, was they forgot to find seats on the team playing for the offensive line, so he didn't have one for the entire game. They just found four big fans in the stands, apparently, or five big stand guys, and said, hey, you want to be at the center?
Oh, man. It was a sad reality.
The guy hiked the ball to his own butt at one point, the center. Did you see that?
I do like the fact that he's now blaming not being in Green Bay for this.
Yeah.
So unfair to not have the NFC Championship game in Green Bay.
Well, maybe if he hadn't lost to San Francisco by a million points in the regular season, you might have had the home field advantage all the way through. Aaron. He's just mad because he's not going to be able to join Mahomes for another one of those insurance commercials at the Super Bowl.
Is Mahomes? Yeah, you know, I guess I'm kind of glad about that.
Yeah.
Because those commercials are really grating on me. Really grating.
How about the ones where Baker Mayfield's living at the Cleveland Stadium,
which he
actually might be doing at this point? Those didn't age well.
No.
And he's like, I've got 65,000 people coming tonight. No, you don't. No, you don't.
Well, if you do,
right? Yeah.
If you do, 45,000 of them hate you, right? So don't worry about that. And is that his wife? Does anybody know the answer to
that's
that?
That's his. I don't know if he's married
or his girlfriend.
But, yeah, babe.
Hey, oh, babe. So they're living in sin at the Cleveland Stadium.
Oh, gee, yeah.
Because she treats that like her house.
She's still waiting for a key under the mat there, gate A. One of these days, you said you're going to leave a key under the mat.
I don't know how I feel about it. I mean, I do actually know how I feel about it, and I don't like it.
Okay,
but I'm. San Francisco looks great. This is going to be a great Super Bowl. It would have been a better Super Bowl in the sense of, you know, the great, 50 years later Super Bowl where you've got Kansas City and you got Green Bay. And
it's the first Super Bowl.
Right.
The Super Bowl.
Yeah.
That it was named after.
So that's where you would get on the 100th season of the NFL. It seems like that would have been a really fitting kind of moment. But too bad Aaron couldn't, deliver that one. Yep. It's too bad about that.
He's Trubisky-esque in a couple of those plays. You don't want to be Trubisky-esque.
No big deal.
Okay.
It's a tough one. It's the only thing that made me feel good this year. I mean, this season has been such, and this football season has been a real disappointment to me.
You hadn't mentioned that at all.
On a lot of levels. Yeah. And this, I suppose, turns into the only thing, I think, for a lot of Chicagoans, I think for a lot of Bears fans, I think this might have been the only moment that had any kind of redeeming.
What happened to that kicker they had that was really good for before they got Cody Parkey? Remember they had that one kicker for a long
Robbie,
time?
Oh, Robbie.
Yeah, where'd he go?
Robbie Gold.
He got anything going?
You know what? There's a guy that has his same name that kicks for the 49ers. Yeah, who
very well, too.
Didn't miss anything. As a matter of fact, set some sort of record for accuracy this season in 49ers history. And every kick was exactly splitting the uprights.
From 54 yards, he was hitting in funky conditions. And then the kid that rushed for 712 yards and on 9 touchdowns was on the Bears practice team for a while. But he was on everybody's practice squad for a while. They let him go.
Just letting you know that. Okay.
That's a good 5 to start the week there, number 5.
Let's check in with Lauren Lapka. She's got the traffic and the weather. Lauren? All right. The top 5 at 5 continues. Sir Richard Roper is in the studio with us. And coming up, his thoughts on what happened last night in Hollywood, especially with the story that everybody in America is concerned about. Will Brad Pitt and Jennifer Aniston get back together again?
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. At the SAG, it was the SAG Awards, which is interesting because they're both getting older.
Here we go.
Yeah.
Number 4.
Kim Kardashian. West. You have to add that. Wants you to know that she is more than just a reality TV star and an extended butt.
Okay.
Oxygen, the TV network, has released a trailer for Kim Kardashian West's The Justice Project, a 2-hour documentary set to debut in April. The documentary follows her as she speaks with prison inmates, lobbies public officials, and works with a team of lawyers to reduce the sentences of 4 inmates whom they believe were unfairly sentenced.
There is a mass incarceration problem in the United States.
Kim went to war for me.
I just said, use me. I want to help her. I started to get letters hearing the circumstances of their lives. I went into this knowing nothing. And then my heart completely opened up.
How long have you been in for?
I've been incarcerated since I was 16 years old.
There are a lot of people making bad choices after a lifetime of trauma. People deserve a second chance.
I have a question, though.
Okay.
I mean, I understand this whole idea of people who, were selling marijuana on the streets.
Exactly.
And got picked up for it, even if they're part of a marijuana sales distribution system on the streets. They weren't carrying a gun, and they haven't been accused of any violence. I do understand those people, especially now that marijuana is legal, in the state by state, but in Illinois, I understand that. And I think that there should be not just rehabilitation for that, but there should be an opportunity for business advancement in that because they happen to know a little something about it.
Yeah. I mean, the stuff they got put away for could get somebody the Small Business Person of the Year award from the state of Illinois in 2020. It's the exact same stuff.
That's exactly right.
Found innovative ways to repackage and,
So,
look, you got, she's sincere, right? She's Aaron Buttovich here is what she is what I'm saying.
Wow.
See what I did there. But I mean, remember she went to the White House.
That's the point. That's going to pop up here now. That's going to be in this documentary of her sitting there getting her picture taken with the president. The president just retweeted that for some reason of her standing there. Because I guess she had tweeted it and he retweeted it. I don't know. Whatever it is.
That's going to be on the Oxygen.
Yep.
And they have that music like all the time when she's walking down the halls. And you also think about the inmates. Geez, that's like the ultimate. They're all making drawings of someone who looks like Kim Kardashian.
Some of them might be assuming that their cellmate is Kim Kardashian at inappropriate moments.
Well, I think it's honorable that she's using her fame for justice.
Okay.
And a TV show.
Exactly. That would be my criticism of it, but, you know, far from me. There are people, this is the world that we live in now. This is how it is. I'm telling you, people think I'm crazy when I say this. I think before 2030, somebody from that family will run successfully for high office, maybe as high as the president.
Kylie's got congressperson written all over her.
I kind of think it's Kanye. And I think Kanye could get elected.
He's going to get jealous, too. He gets very jealous of Kim. Are you talking to Doobie Donnie again? That could be
number three.
Could be bad. Sorry. You okay?
I have a piece of tuna in my lung.
That's good.
I mentioned this earlier on the program. I inhaled something that ended up being debris. I should be all right.
50-50.
But right now, thoughts and prayers. Kevin, thoughts and prayers.
Upper body injury.
T's and P's.
The annual Cubs convention took place at the Sheraton Grand Hotel over the weekend. Fans packing to see some of their favorite players ahead of the 2020 season. But one of the best moments of the weekend always comes when the youngest fans of the team get their shot to quiz their new favorite. Now, this is the annual kids-only press conference. Javier Baez, Jason Hayward, Anthony Rizzo, Kyle Schwarber, along with Clark the Cub. Oh my God, did they let him speak? Okay. He just did the hand gestures, I'm told.
Excellent.
And a blackboard.
Okay.
Oh, he's literate. they all field the questions from the kids. Here's what it sounded like.
What was going through your mind when you won the World Series?
I started like freaking out like a little kid. I'm like, oh my gosh, what's going to happen? Don't slip, KB.
Our question is for Javi. Javi, why are you
so cute?
How do you answer that?
I have a question for Rizzo. Will you be my Valentine?
Yeah, no, my wife's right here, so definitely love to take a picture, maybe buy you some chocolate.
What is your go-to karaoke song?
I can be your hero, baby.
I was going to ask you, what's your favorite joke?
Hey, come on, Riz. You got something.
He got all the jokes.
Yeah, all.
I don't know. David Ross is our manager?
That actually works.
That's good. One of the little kids. How do you feel about the expansion of the greater business district around Wrigley Field and the Ricketts money grab in favor of trying to get a better team on the field?
What is your thought of the Houston Astros cheating scandal?
Too soon.
There's always some kid who's going to, Future Lawyers of America Society, who's going to step up there and say exactly that.
Very cute.
Yeah.
Excuse me, I have a question now. Do you think the collective bargaining agreement will be able to protect you in case there's mass firings as a result of the cheating scandal?
Kim Kardashian just signed to represent some of the Houston Astros and get them justice. That's just breaking news.
So. All right, checking in it.
Number two. Neil Pionk put it up the board. Picked off by Gustafson, left point. Put it down to Kane, back on the net. He sent it in for Carpenter. To the side, he scores! And Patrick Kane has a 1,000 NHL points! He'll get the second assist on this goal, and the Blackhawk players are all off the bench to skate down to the corner. And mob Patrick Kane in the corner to the left of the Jets net. Congratulations, Patrick Kane. 1,000 career NHL points. What a moment for the Hawks.
He becomes the 90th player to reach 1,000 points. When you think about how many players there have been
incredible.
In the NHL, that is pretty incredible. But he also becomes the fastest ever to reach the 1,000 points. He
That's
averaged
amazing.
Over more than a point a game over his career.
Incredible. And only, I think, the fourth Blackhawk, Bobby Hull, Makita and Savard, I believe.
Correct. And the lone American.
Really?
Yes.
That's stunning. I would have thought there. So that's incredible.
He spoke about
amazing.
What it felt like last night.
I've been very fortunate. You know, I got drafted to a great franchise, great organization with some great players. Played with some unbelievable players over my career. You know, obviously it's nice to share with guys like Donk Siebes, Taser Crow, Sauter, those guys that have been around for a long time. And, obviously you fans too. You guys have meant the world to me, and it's been a fun ride. So looking forward to the next portion of my career.
It's amazing. Well, I mean, you think about it. We've talked about this. 20 years from now, maybe not even that long, there will be statues of Taves and Kane outside the United Center alongside Makita and Bobby Hull. Ones. Three Stanley Cup championships. And they're both Hall of Famers, first ballot Hall of Famers.
That's absolutely right. And there should be. And think about the turnaround, too, for him personally.
Yes.
In the middle of all of that craziness that happened a couple of years ago.
It was like five years ago. Very early in his career where it could have gone the wrong way. And you got to give him a lot of credit. And the people around him who certainly helped him to turn things around and get his focus where it should be.
And finally.
Number one.
Today is Martin Luther King Jr. Day. And it's also the day that the United States Navy officially names its newest aircraft carrier, the USS Doris Miller, after Doris Dory Miller, who saved the lives of his shipmates and then valiantly fought attacking Japanese forces during the attack on Pearl Harbor, bravery for which he was awarded the Navy Cross, the first African-American to receive the honor. Almost 2 years after his valor at the battle, Miller gave his life for his country when the ship he was in sank during a battle. The USS Doris Miller will be the first aircraft carrier named for an enlisted sailor and the first named for an African-American. At the naming ceremony, Acting Secretary of the Navy Thomas Modley presided over the Martin Luther King Celebration for African-American Heroes of World War II held on Joint Base Pearl Harbor Hickam.
Dory Miller's example, his leadership, and his courage under fire went on to inspire millions and increase pressure on the Navy to expand opportunities for African Americans to serve in every capacity. Dory Miller's story also had profound and lasting impact beyond the Navy. Newspapers around the country cited his story as an argument for broader civil rights and equality. The great civil rights leader A. Philip Randolph cited Miller as he successfully pressured President Roosevelt to end discrimination in the defense industry. Randolph also used Miller's story as inspiration for a planned march on Washington, D.C., a march that would finally come to fruition so famously and so consequentially in August of 1963. So in a very real sense, those who witnessed Dr. King unabashedly state, "I have a dream," they all have Dory Miller to thank and to honor and to respect for his contributions for making that day 20 years later possible.
Now, what's interesting is you've seen the movie, the Michael Bay version of Pearl Harbor.
Mm-hmm.
That's the character that Cuba Gooding plays.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And there is, and there's a little bit of a, there's a difference in, some of the actions there, but it's show Cuba Gooding is playing, you know, this character who does all these heroic things. You know, he was a cook, right, on the line in the bottom of the boat, and he came up and he, you know, took over a 50 cal. He did all the things he was supposed to do.
Amazing.
And he helped other guys get off the boat and to get up, you know, as it was going down. It's just an incredible mm-hmm. story. So when it comes to military honors, and specifically to naval honors, mm-hmm. having an aircraft carrier named after you, it doesn't get much bigger than that. It's only been named after major battles. Then there was the USS Enterprise, which is named after a previously existing ship. Presidents get their own mm-hmm. aircraft carriers. This is
incredible.
A gigantic, gigantic honor. So congratulations to the Navy and congratulations to the Miller family as well for that. All right, let's close this thing up.
The top five at five.
Rokan Show right here on 720 WGN. Coming up after the top of the hour, our friend, Chicagoan, Lisa Goranson. You know her, you love her. It's Becky Connor from Roseanne. She was Becky Connor. She wasn't Becky Connor. Now she's Becky Connor again. Richard Roper.
Amazing.
It is amazing. And they're doing a watch party because they're doing a Bears Packers episode.
That's fantastic.
Should have done that in November, but who's telling? I guess they just came back though, right? Weren't they? Oh, she'll explain it when she gets
there. A whole thing.
All right, we got a couple of different things that we need to talk about. What I find very interesting as we, you know, we're heading through to movie award season, all of that. There's a lot of discussion whether the Screen Actors Guild Awards, which are sort of at the back of the pack, right? The Golden Globes are probably second to the Oscars. Right?
Yeah.
But in terms of being predictors, this is where the screen actors all vote in the acting categories.
Correct.
So I would say that these are a pretty good predictor about who's going to win for best actor and actress and supporting actor and supporting actress. And it's the same as the Globes, essentially.
They're locked in. The four are locked in now. And we'll talk in a couple of weeks about all the categories. But the four winners last night keep winning. And yeah, you're right. Screen Actors Guild, first of all, they have the most pretentious of all the actual awards. You know, you have the Grammy, the Oscar, the Tony, the Emmy. Their award is called The Actor.
Mm-hmm.
And The Actor goes to, and it's like 9 feet tall and weighs like 1,000 pounds.
Right.
Right in Ellen's like living room, you know, like it's a great looking trophy. But yeah, you're Joaquin Phoenix for Joker, right? Renee Zellweger, who does not deserve to be even nominated, but is going to win for Judy. And then Brad Pitt for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood and Laura Dern for Marriage Story. Those are your four acting winners, and they all won last night.
Yeah. So can you explain why you don't think Renee Zellweger should even be nominated?
Because you can go to Vegas and see Judy Garland impersonators who do a better job of capturing what Judy Garland sounded like than Renee Zellweger does in Judy, which is not a film that really resonated with people because it's sort of an underwhelming biopic, and there's so much out there. First of all, you could see Judy Garland in movies, and you could see her on talk shows, and you could see her all kinds of footage. And it's a passable impersonation, but not a fully realized performance. I found it kind of irritating, to tell you the truth.
Do you think that people are surprised that she's got a Texas accent, Texas Southern accent?
That's where she's from.
Yes.
Not Judy Garland. Renee Zellweger.
Yes, yeah, Renee Zellweger.
Oh, okay.
Because she gets up there, y'all, thank you so much for everything. You need to bless your heart. Listen. And you're like, wait a second. That's not her.
Well, that's like the first time when people used to see like Idris Elba on The Wire and shows like that. And the first time he won an award. Well, shiver me timbers, this is a wonderful award. And the Queen's Majesty would be very happy. What's he doing? Well, he's British. Like, nobody knew. Right, the first time he spoke, people were like, why is Idris Elba from The Wire doing a British accent? I go, because he's British.
I was a friend a couple of years ago at the Elton John show, I guess it was more than a year, whatever it was, when this last tour came through.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, he got up and he started talking like he does between, and during the intermission the guy says to me, he goes, for all these years I had no idea he was British.
Elton John?
Yes.
Wow. I mean,
they sing American. Anyway, that's
just they sing American.
It just is what it is. All right, let's talk about.
Go ahead.
The actors are going to be, but then the actors voted for a movie that's in Korean to be the best picture, the best cast, ensemble cast. Would they know? Basically, if they
so you're saying you can't tell good acting if it's not in American?
Well, I mean, I think you can, but I think you can't. It's not as good. You're not getting it as well. You know that's true.
Well, you'd be fun at the opera. What are they saying now? Well, there's actually a fat lady singing, but we have three more hours at this opera. Listen, I kind of get what you're saying because, I mean, it's subtitled. It's not dubbed. If it was dubbed, then it'd be really weird because then you're hearing someone else's voice.
Right,
they do that now, like on the HBOs and stuff. They do dubbed. They don't do subtitles of movies. And it's very odd. You know, like they do Spanish dubbing of stuff. So you'll see Judy in Spanish.
Well, that's fun. Yeah. Well, they do that internationally, right? And then sometimes you'll see...
Well, it depends on the country, you know, whether you do subtitles or not. If you go to most European cinemas and see... Like, if you go to France or Poland or whatever, and you see an American movie, it's usually subtitled.
Generally. But television is now subtitled all over the world, and so you'll see, like, when the closing credits are for, like, Game of Thrones or any of those big shows, mm-hmm. Homeland did this, they would say, you know, like, French, and then they would have the whole cast.
The money that's made there is insane. And the shows you wouldn't think, like, The King of Queens is, like, a big show internationally. I think people just like watching the bumbling American delivery driver in shorts.
Right.
I don't know. So Parasite, and that's the other thing about the Screen Actors Guild Awards. They nominate the entire ensemble, which I think is actually a cool thing. Because think about how many movies are really about the ensemble. Yeah, they're great individual performances, but that would be a great Oscar category. Can you imagine that? Like, because you'd have, like, back in the day, Goodfellas and Pulp Fiction. You know, think about it, and you get the whole cast. They always just end up, Parasite won for film, and then they always just bring in a bunch of British shows that win the rest of them.
That's true.
Or British-y shows, like Mrs. Maisel, which is an American show, but sounds like
should be.
A British show. And then it's always anything with Crown. Or the Royals, or Queen always wins.
All right. Well, so. I always find that show to be underwhelming. And now they started drinking at it. They stole.
They're trying to go Golden Globe-ish with it,
right? Yeah. They want it to be a big thing, Screen Actors Guild. And listen, I love the Screen Actors Guild. They pay for my insurance. I'm all in favor of them.
There you go.
I met my president last night, who stood up there and she made a big speech about Go Union.
Go Union.
Yeah, okay. Fine. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's all well and good. It's still kind of a crappy TV show.
Yeah, well, it's TBS TNT is where it's aired. It's not on the big networks. For a lot of folks, it's just, if you see that, it's definitely a precursor to the Academy Awards, because the acting branch is the largest branch of the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences. It's about 20% of
Parasite's not going to win Best Picture.
It's going to win Best International Film. They don't call it foreign language anymore because of you and your aversion to subtitles.
All right. She will need no subtitles. She's Lauren Lapka. She's going to tell us what's happening in the skies and on the roads. Thank you, Richard Roper, who was in the studio with us. We were just talking about the results of the Screen Actors Guild Awards, which most Americans go, the what? Because they're not, as you pointed out, they're on TBS and TNT. They're really not as widely viewed, obviously, as the Golden Globes, and certainly not as the Oscars. But they do give you a little bit of an insight into what's going on. And they're the last big one before the Oscars, which are coming up in 3 weeks.
3 weeks, yeah. They get the Super Bowl in 2 weeks, and then the Oscars, and then the White Sox will take the field. That's in that order. I'm moving it along.
A little bit. All right. Last night, the 10th, and, you know, maybe final, we never really know for sure, season of Curb Your Enthusiasm debuted on HBO. A couple of months ago, Jeff Garlin, who is from Curb Your Enthusiasm, plays Jeff Green, Chicago comedian, was in studio with us, and he said, this is the best season ever, which is saying a lot, because it's one of the greatest sitcoms of all times.
Yes.
But he says it is also the greatest conceit. Every season is sort of based on an ongoing issue.
Yeah, there was one year they were going to do The Producers, right? The musical version. Larry was going to star on Broadway. There was another one where he was going to run a restaurant with Ted Danson and a bunch of partners. They opened a restaurant. Lin-Manuel Miranda was in a whole arc. You know, there's a lot of those types of things. First of all, it's an amazing thing, Ro, when you think about it. It's the 10th season of Curb Your Enthusiasm, but in classic Larry David fashion, it's the 20th year. It started in the year 2000.
Wow.
And they did 6 or 7 seasons relatively consecutively, and then he took 6 years off. You know how he is. You know, like he was done, and then he called everybody. Our friend Jeff Garlin and everybody else and the gang. Oh, you're right. You mentioned Julia Louis. That was probably my favorite when they restaged the Seinfeld finale, which is Larry's way of getting it right.
They brought her in. And she would be a regular occurring guest on the show because she would be in between Emmy-winning series.
Yes,
she
exactly. Was going to be hanging out. And Jason Alexander and Jerry and everybody would come back and play themselves. So what I like about the season premiere, first of all, Larry is acknowledging how things have changed with Me Too and things like that. And then he's just making it completely politically incorrect, as only Larry David can do. And what it looked like from the premiere episode, it's going to be a reward for everybody who's watched the show, the millions and millions of people that have watched the show, because there's a lot of callbacks to previous jokes. There's a lot of returns. Cheryl Hines is back as his ex-wife, Ted Danson as himself. And one of the recurring jokes. We have a clip here, actually, with our friend Jeff Garlin.
Boycotting.
Is boycotting. That's a big move.
That's a big move, a boycott.
God. Who invited you? You pig.
Oh, no, Nancy, that is not Harvey Weinstein. I'm so sorry, Jeff. My sister's from out of town.
Oh.
I'm really sorry.
Oh, my God.
I'm the host of the party.
Oh, my God. I'm so sorry.
Yes, I'm not Harvey Weinstein.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
Thank you. I'm sorry.
Okay.
He looks like Harvey Weinstein. He looks just like him.
What the hell?
Okay. All the time. Women, men, doesn't matter. And suddenly I'm this guy. Unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
Because he kind of does, because he lost weight and he's got the beard. They have him with like the 10-day growth that Weinstein has now. And that's not
they made him look
thing.
Particularly Weinstein-esque.
He wears the suit and everything. And there's also, if people haven't seen it, I want to spoil too much, but there's a whole MAGA thing, too, where, you know, the great thing about Larry David is, yeah, he'll get into his political stuff, but he's also kind of lampooning the judgy Hollywood elite world. So Phil Rosenthal, who's not our friend Phil Rosenthal, who's the Tribune's TV and business writer and everything, but Phil Rosenthal, the creator of Raymond, Everybody Loves Raymond, and a lot of other great shows. He plays himself in here, and Larry doesn't like him just because he's a nice guy and Larry doesn't want to hang out with him.
Right.
And he gets forced into going to lunch with Phil Rosenthal, goes to a trendy sushi restaurant, and when Phil walks in, Larry's wearing a MAGA hat. And Phil then immediately goes, oh, my son just got, his plane just landed. I can't stay. And now Larry's using that to ward off people he doesn't want to hang around with. He just puts on the MAGA hat.
Well, you know, they're setting up. So the season long issue on this show. And if you've not seen this show, if you don't have HBO, get HBO. It's about time. But if you love this show before and you think, I don't know, do I want to invest in another season? I think you do, because they're setting up the season long joke, which, you know, the idea of a callback where a comedian says something in the first 5 minutes of his act and then 20 minutes later he calls back, you know, he winds it around to a callback of a joke. This Larry does that in seasons. He sets it up in the first episode, and then 10 or 12 or 13, whatever the episode, whatever the season's going to be. I think is it 13 for this one?
I think 13 episodes.
So then, and somehow in the 13th, it all pays off. Mm-hmm. And it appears that there's going to be a lawsuit against Larry David.
Yes.
In this.
There's a pattern. There's a couple of females who have encountered him have claimed, including a caterer who kept saying, you were ogling me with your eyes.
Right. And it's a great take on how overly sensitive we are on all sides.
Yes.
How overly sensitive the left is, the right is. People are just, everybody's in grievance mode. Yeah. Everybody's been victimized by something. And some people have. But in this particular case, Larry is always the victim of himself.
Yes. As he says on the show, the people who like to hang around with him do so because they always feel morally superior to him. And he says the reason he likes to hang around animals is because he feels like he's morally superior. The animals eat each other. They don't know how to use their hands. So he likes to hang around. He goes, insects, he can squash them.
Yep.
So he likes hanging around animals. Because he never feels morally superior if he's ever in a room with another human.
You've only seen the first episode so far? They didn't send you advanced grades?
They have not. I think they want people just to enjoy it, which I can dig that, you know, although they should send me the rest in advance so I can tell you guys about it.
But. Yeah, well, I don't know what they're doing there. I think they know that they have a built-in audience. It's going to do what it's going to do. And they don't anticipate it being that much bigger, because in the United States, it's only on HBO, which is not an only, but it's on HBO. So if you have HBO, you have HBO. You're going to, you know.
It's one of their big draws, obviously. HBO ain't messing around. You know, the shows that are on there have to bring in a lot because they're expensive. This show isn't particularly expensive compared to a Game of Thrones or Dragons or anything. But, people got to get paid. But this show's won tons of Emmys. And if people don't know, go all the way back. Larry basically co-created Seinfeld with Jerry Seinfeld. And George Costanza was Larry David. They just had Jason Alexander play him.
Larry David also, it should be pointed out, was a writer at Saturday Night Live and got fired because he took a stand. Yes. He went into Lorne Michaels' office and they asked him to do something. He didn't want to do it. And that's it. I will not do it. And then they fired Larry David. And Larry David then, that was on a Friday, Larry David on Monday came back to work and went to his office and sat there and pretended he was not fired until NBC security took him away.
Which was a plot of Seinfeld, where George came back.
Right.
Did you think I was being serious?
Right, exactly.
A lot of these stuffs intertwine. And in fact, on the Seinfeld finale, that was the show within a show on Curb, they were using jokes that were based on things that happened to fake Larry in his real life on Curb. Like when he hired a hooker to go to Dodgers games with him just so he could use the
Diamond
passenger.
Lanes, in Los Angeles. So there was a passenger in his car.
Yeah.
That was cheaper than actually.
That was then a plot element on the fake finale of Seinfeld within the episode of Curb.
So,
blowing my mind!
There is, just the point is that now that he is back on Saturday Night Live playing Bernie Sanders is just, to me, it's a glorious return. Because when you see that he had to go and become so phenomenally successful that little Saturday Night Live took him back to be able to do that.
Amazing stuff.
Yeah, he is great. All right, so Curb Your Enthusiasm, you highly recommend. I, just as a viewer, highly recommend it too, if that counts for anything. All right, we have got the news coming up, and then Lisa Goranson's going to join us.
Cool.
She is Becky Connor on the Connors which is the former Roseanne, and they got a big show coming up this weekend, or tomorrow, and a place where you can go watch it with the cast. So stay right here.
Congratulations to number 88.
Carpenter to Sonic, and he scores! And Patrick Kane has 1,000 NHL points!
From Blackhawks Radio.
Blackhawks. WGN.
Lisa Goranson is in the studio with us right now. You know her, you love her as Becky from the Connors, from Roseanne. Originally, you were Becky Connor, then you weren't Becky Connor, now you're Becky Connor again. Is that about right?
Well, there's always been a little Becky Connor in me since 1988.
All right, you're in town. Let's talk about this. Can you hear? Are you
yeah, hearing? Okay, I'm just okay. Setting myself up. I turned on my mic.
Okay.
And I'm adjusting my headphones.
Ah, see. Very
so
good.
I can hear you clear. Oh, there we go.
There. Aha.
Testing, testing.
I see there was a problem.
WGN.
We're having a bit of an issue here today. We had a phantom thing happen. You know, everything has gone digital now and all the things we do. Right at home, everything is digital. Your refrigerator talks to something, calls it, you know, calls home.
They're
like
talking
ET.
To each other.
Yes. Everything's talking. Your phone's talking to things. Everything's talking. Here, when they built this, I know it's a little inside baseball, but I'm going to share it anyway. When they built this studio out, it's all like digital. There's no mechanical anything anymore. It's just you press a button and it sends a signal to a computer and they do something. There's no tape. There's no anything. We have had three things fritz out today on the day that, you know, it's a vacation day, essentially, right? And now your headphones too. So I'm sorry about
it's
that.
It's also the most important press day of the year because I'm here.
That's true. That's,
because
that's true.
There's a show on tomorrow night at 7 Central. It's called The Connors. And I don't know if you've heard the word on the streets.
What is the word on the street, Lisa?
Well, it just so happens that Chicago's own Lisa Goranson submitted a story idea to the executive producers of The Connors. And whatever could the show be about? Well, I'll tell you, those of you who are tuning in, it's about the Bears v. Packers game.
Uh-huh.
That's right. And
And what are you doing to celebrate that, Lacey?
Well, there's a watch party at Joe's on Weed.
No.
Doors at 6. The show is at 7 to 7:30. It only has to be a half hour commitment. And half of the door is $10. Half goes to the widows and children of fallen firefighters.
Right. Chicago Fire Department's Widows and Children's Fund, right?
Yes, exactly.
Yes, Widows and Children's
so
Fund.
So it's like a win. It's like a win, 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 win. It's like Chicago can say, oh my gosh, this show's about me. I'm a suffering Bears fan. I, you know, live in this nightmare and joy of fandom here. And this is a reflection of me. And us.
So, let's talk about that then. So you're originally from Evanston, right?
Correct.
Yes. And so you grew up as a Bears fan?
Indeed.
When did you go to Hollywood originally? How old were you?
I was 13. Well, actually, I was 12, I think, when I got the role. And then I went to Hollywood when I was 13.
And then did you go back and forth? Or did you have to live out there?
I graduated from Evanston High School. I went to Camp Echo in Fremont, Michigan, which is a summer camp.
Yes, I know it well.
Oh, you do?
Mm-hmm. My daughter went
there. Oh, because your daughter went there.
Yes.
And she loved it.
Yes. Well, so she tried to escape a couple of times. That's a separate issue.
See, I was just in the woods. I think I'm just kind of a wilderness
she was
personality.
Much like her father. She really prefers she likes when the refrigerator talks to the oven and they talk to your cell phone and all of that. That's, I'm very technical, as you can see. So you grew up as a Bears fan and then you went to the writers of the Connors.
Yes.
And you said to them, and I'd like to get to how this happened.
Okay.
Because I think this is a really interesting story. You went and you asked for your own, essentially, you want an episode that has to do with Chicago football, Bears, Packers, that whole, the rivalry, the
Indeed.
Craziness of it, the drama of it.
The drama,
and,
yes.
And we're going to take a quick break for traffic and weather before you tell the rest of the story. But it appears to me, based on what I heard a little earlier,
yes,
that there was initial resistance by the writers to do this.
Correct.
Yes. answer no more. Stay right there. I want to hear exactly how you were able to muscle these fancy writers in the writer's room in Hollywood into making a real working class story out of Chicagoans. Can we do that?
Yes.
All right. That's what we're going to see how inspired she is. Right now, Lauren Lapka has the traffic and the weather.
Hey, everybody. I have an announcement. I'm having a baby.
A baby what?
There's this really nice woman who wants me to have her baby. I'm going to be her surrogate.
You're pregnant?
No, I have to fill out some forms and answer a bunch of questions first.
Daddy, is that how you have a baby?
Yes.
And she's paying me $50,000.
Wow, just for having a baby? Dan, you owe me $200,000.
Lisa Goranson is with us. Becky Connor on Roseanne, and then, of course, on The Connors, which is back. And tomorrow, this is the season, or the winter season debut, I think, is tomorrow, right, Lisa?
Yeah.
And you are doing a watch party at Joe's on Weed. I'll do the plug here, then we got to go back and set up the story.
Oh, yes, Let's do it.
So tomorrow night, doors open at 6 o'clock, Joe's on Weed. That's 940 West Weed Street in downtown Chicago. And it's a $10 cover at the door. That's why they call it a door charge. But half of that money goes to the fire department's Widows and Children's Fund, widowsandchildrenfund.org, in case you want to give money to that separately. And if you want to go, there's an Eventbrite invite place you can go to Lecy, L-E-C-Y, bearsdown.eventbrite.com. Did I get that? I think I got that plug right. God knows.
Good job.
Thanks. And you get a drink ticket with the $10, you know, cover charge.
So yes, that's a good way and to start. The production company, you know, the Connors production company, sent us some swag from the show, which is pretty cool. We have autographed photos that we're going to raffle off, and T-shirts. There's a Casita Bonita T-shirt. There is a Lamford lunchbox apron. There's T-shirts from the new Lanford establishment, Lanford Leather and Ink, which is a biker store / tattoo parlor. Mm-hmm. Merch.
All right, so people want to come. You're going to be there. And it's a premiere of this season, we said, this half season starting right now. But it's the story, the arc of this is about a Bears-Packers game and how the family, the Connors family handles that.
Correct.
Now you went, let me just set this back up.
Yes.
You went to the writers of the Connors and you said, you know, you people are a bunch of coastal elites and you need to understand how people actually handle things in the Midwest, because this is where this show takes place. It takes place somewhere outside the Chicago metropolitan area. Every single suburb, all the way out to Rockford, which is not a suburb, all claim that Lanford is them, right?
Yes. I mean, I don't want to be burned like a record in Comiskey Park, but it is... I was kind of doing a Joan of Arc kind of situation. Yes, I was.
As far as the entertainment industry goes, that was Joan of Arc, right? That's what you did. You stood there in front
of
the writers.
I stood there and I said, I'm hearing voices that are telling me to do this sports show.
You said you wanted to do a show about the Bears and about football.
No, this is what I actually did. I wrote the outline. I wrote out a story outline. I got a copy of an outline so I could see how to do it. Mm-hmm. And then I wrote my own. And then I submitted it to Tom Werner, who's not only our executive producer, but also part owner of the Red Sox and Liverpool soccer.
Which is undefeated, by the way, right now.
Yes. Yeah. And I said, you're a sports guy. I want you to read this. And, you know, if you don't like it, whatever. And he said, let's pass it through. And then once it was passed through, a lot of people said, why is it exciting for people to watch people watching a Bears game? And the thing is that to me, there are no higher stakes when you see maniacs like us watching these games.
That's probably true.
And so part of it was I found myself at my sports bar, my Bears bar in L.A., with these knuckleheads watching the game. We're screaming. We're, you know, acting like 6-year-old children. And then I thought, what is it that makes us behave? Why do we behave this way? Why are we so emphatic? What does this mean? What is this relationship that I have, that we have with sports? And then I kind of went in deep and thought, it's like kind of an extension of your family. It's something that's passed down. Right. It's a way of having community. It's a way of talking about something that's not your life. It's about coming together. It's about getting out emotions. It's about thinking of something outside of yourself. And all of these things, because, you know, you got to wonder when you grow up in this area, what the hell is wrong with us? But in a good way.
I wonder that every day. I read the headlines and I wonder every day. Well, and you know, and I was saying earlier, because one of the people on our show who shall remain nameless, Kim Gordon, is a Green Bay Packers fan. Right.
Wait, so
when I saw her today, I walked right past her in the hall. I go,
yeah,
I'm sorry for your loss. And we just kept moving along. And it seemed yesterday to me, the Green Bay Packers losing in the NFC Championship game to San Francisco was the most important sports story of the year for me. That made, as a Bears fan, that made my season.
I mean, to me, you know, approaching not knowing what was going to happen in the games, because originally I was hoping that this episode was done earlier and could air actually during the Bears Packers, you know, that Tuesday.
Right. Like in November or something.
Exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That would be good.
But that didn't happen. I mean, you know, I can't get everything I want. But the fact that, you know, coming here just for this, and by the way, no one sent me here. I came here. I called, texted Betsy Shepherd, our neighborhood
publicist.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I just said, help me out here, Bets. And this is all on my own. Why? Because I want people to see it. I think it's reminds me of home. You know, this is me saying, wanting to ground the show in something that I think really
to make it feel like it should be, like what the show is ground in originally.
Correct. Right? Yeah. Exactly. And so, you know, of course there's ego involved. Of course I want to say it's my idea. I did this. I'm the Joan of Arc. I'm the record.
Yeah, that's you know, Joan of Arc, it turned out, was burned at the stake. And you just went into Tom Werner's office and were able to cut a deal, which is great.
I just sent him the outline, but he's a smart man. You know, it wasn't,
it's true.
He doesn't need anything from me except for me to show up to work and do the show, but.
But congratulations on this. Lisa Goranson's with us, of course, from the Connors, which tomorrow night there is the winter season starts, and it's the episode is outlined by you, Lisa, originally.
Correct.
And it is about a Bears-Packers game and how the Connor family deals with that.
Yes.
That sort of almost religious event that happens twice a year.
Correct.
And if you have, and this year especially, the last two seasons, Bears-Packers were the opening of the football season, right? You had this year was the actual opening of the 100th anniversary or the 100th season of the NFL, because those are the two original teams of the NFL. And it was right here at Soldier Field. I don't want to talk about what happened there. And last year it was at Lambeau Field, and I don't want to talk about what happened there either. But it's
neither do I.
Yes, but it is what it is. You know what's interesting though? I think that the Connors, and you know, as Roseanne and the Connors show was, I would imagine it's got a huge Wisconsin audience.
Oh yeah,
it always felt like
that.
Well,
and it's that too. I mean, I know obviously there's, because the Connors are in Illinois, they're going to have a slant. But this is very much, I mean, a rivalry takes two,
mm-hmm.
and. I think the Wisco kids, the cheeseheads over yonder, are going to really appreciate it too.
Wow.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, because
they'll get it.
It's about them too, because mm-hmm. they feel that way too. And, you know, I did have really good friends of mine from the Chicago area that were in the front row for the taping, in their jerseys, you know, cheering on the show. And they said, you know, if you love sports, if you have any sport team that you love, this will appeal to you. Or if any of your teams have a rival.
Yes, that's true.
That, the rivalries that runs are deep.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. And the Joan of Arc learned that the hard way. But yes,
yes.
That is really, that is totally true.
Like a rock and roll album at Comiskey.
Wow, you keep going back to that.
That's, well, because I think it's funny that they burned it, right?
Yes, they burned everything at Comiskey that night. A lot of things. A lot of things caught fire. All right. So, do you want? Is this where you want to go? You want to write?
No. I mean, I think I want my ideas to be heard, but I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I love my job now. I love being an actor, but I am kind of interested in doing other projects. You know,
we always got to work, right? Because you never, one never knows in the business of show.
Exactly. Well, and I mean, I think this is a time, I don't know, to me, you know, Greta Thunberg, the Swedish climate activist, was really inspiring to me, because I thought because when I was that age, I also was working for Greenpeace. I was doing, you know, I went to Indonesia to study orangutans because the, you know, rainforest there was being burned. And I thought, wow, it could have just been a little step away from actually really going all out like she did and just saying, this is a global thing. And I know it's just a different world than it was in the 90s, but it is still, you know, I think it's a time to have a voice and not say, oh, I'll get around to it. It's a time to say, this stuff, these issues are really pressing, and we can all, you know, what can one person do? I mean, I could fly out here and be on the radio.
That's true. But you're supporting the Chicago Bears in this. And I know it's a less noble cause than the extinction of life on Earth, but it's still important to us all.
Well, it's also, it more is supporting being a fan than actually the Bears, if that makes sense, because the NFL wouldn't let us use any of their gear. Or
they let you say Bears?
They let us say Bears, but if they had anything that was certified official NFL,
they wouldn't let you do it.
We couldn't use it.
Why not?
Because if you say anything remotely negative about any team, they have to comb over, and it's like
have they not met themselves? Do they know what goes on in fandom, or have they noticed what the other players are doing and stuff?
Well, this is when I started thinking about Colin Kaepernick and thinking, okay, this is like kind of extreme, but I just said, okay, let's nix the gear and just say whatever we want to say.
Yeah.
Which is how to represent a real fan. I mean, are we all skipping through the tulips like for the 100 years, 108 years that the Cubs lost? No. We're around as Zen Buddhists living in our constant state of misery.
Oh, that's interesting.
And finding joy somehow in, you know, sunshine and a nice day on the lake. I mean, who knows? A slice of Giordano's.
Here's what we know. We know that you're going to be at Joe's on Weed tomorrow night. Doors open at 6:00. It's a viewing party for this episode of The Conners. It's a Bears-Packers episode. Come out and see Lisi. Come out and get some swag from the show. Ask her any question you want. Doors open at 6:00. Live screening at 7:00. You're out of there at 7:30 if you want to go, but that's a great place to just go hang out for the evening anyway. They've always got a lot of really cool stuff going on. So Joe's on Weed, 940 West Weed Street. You can go to Lisi, L-E-C-Y, bearsdown.eventbrite.com. So you go to the Eventbrite site and you can go look for it there. And don't forget, the $10 cover charge, $5 of that goes to the Widows and Children's Fund for the Chicago Fire Department. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much.
We've got the news right now with Kim Gordon from the WGN Newsroom. Sorry for your loss.
She said.
Ro Khan Show right here on 720 WGN. All right. The odds are out for the Super Bowl. Super Bowl that is going to be held in Miami, two weeks from yesterday. Richard Roper stepped back in. Because Richard Roper's written a few books on gambling as well.
Yeah, Bet the House, available now. Amazon or anywhere, wherever fine books are sold, which is on the internet.
And, you know, we need a guy. We need an odds maker. We need a guy who understands a few things about the odds, and we're going to bring him in. And then we're going to make bets with Kevin and Lauren, too.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, that's how we're going to do it. Andrew Menino is with us. Andrew Menino is he's from PointsBet, pointsbet.com. And it's our friends at Hawthorne. Mm-hmm. Race course?
Yes.
They are the sports betting partner for them. They're going to have sportsbook at Hawthorne and three of their OTBs. They are a huge operator in Australia right now, but they're opening in the United States. They got operations in New Jersey, and they're going to Iowa too.
I was at the opening of the sportsbook in Iowa.
There you go.
That you guys did. Yeah.
It's very, very great.
Last summer.
All right. So here's, here are the, let's, Andrew, first of all, I just want to see if you're agreeing with these. I want to make sure that these, these make sense to you. You got your San Francisco 49ers, you got your Kansas Cities. And that's going to be, right now, it is Kansas City as the favorite, over under 54.5. And that means that 54.5 points.
Total points.
Total points between both teams. And it is basically Kansas City right now as a 1-point favorite. That's going to go up, isn't it?
So we've got Kansas City right now as a 1.5-point favorite. We opened this line during halftime last night with San Francisco running away with it. And we opened at KC -2.5, but we got quick action on that line that pushed it right down, and we've been pretty settled in today at 1.5.
Well, that's a tricky one, Andrew, because I think people are so, first of all, two very solid teams, but Mahomes is such an attractive lure for the better and for the over, I think, as well. But, you watch the 49ers. It is very close to a pick 'em, as it was last year, right? I think the Rams and the Patriots were close to maybe a point or two.
Yeah, opened with L.A. as a favorite last year and got hammered that way and moved it into New England's favor. I think this is a great football game. You got two great coaches, two great quarterbacks, and two high-powered offenses. I think they'll both be prepared, and I think we're in for a shootout.
Yeah, but you do have two pretty sticky defenses, too. You saw what San Francisco did to Aaron Rodgers. It totally confused him last night.
Yeah.
And it was not that wasn't unexpected. And the other thing too is that we got to remember Kansas City shut down that Tennessee running game, which is just owned the AFC this year. So I think you're 100% right. You got the whole thing going. Do you think that 54.5 on the over under though makes a lot of sense here?
We moved to 54 now. We actually opened at 52.5. But the action's coming in on the over, and we're now sitting pretty at 54.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like you said, this is a great showing for Kansas City, for a team that hasn't done a lot of impressive stuff on defense this season, really stepping up with Derrick Henry at the plate. I think both of these teams are going to be prepared for each other, and it's going to make for some exciting football.
Yeah. Andrew, do you find that the more casual bettor is usually attracted to the over because it's just more fun to root for teams to score? If you're betting the under, the whole game you're like watching the little clock in the corner and hoping for runs up the gut for 3 yards, right?
Absolutely. I mean, when you're putting a casual bet and going out with your friends, you want to root for offense. You want to see some scoring. And so sharper punters tend to take the under and sit tight, not really worry about the game so much and look for that value on the under.
Right. You go out and you watch 1917 in the theater near you during the
come
Super
back
Bowl.
And check the score.
Yeah, exactly. Turn your phone off and just pray that you won. Before we let you go, I got just a couple seconds here. The over-unders for the 2020 Major League Baseball season are out, and the Chicago White Sox are at 84.5, and that's the White Sox are probably the most improved off-season team in all of baseball. Is that number sit with you?
We've actually got them a little lower than that. We opened them at 80.5, and have ticked up at 81.5 with all the signings. Most of the bets we've taken have been on the over. Like you said, it's been a huge offseason for them. They signed and kept, a lot of great players. But they still have a lot of ground to cover. They still have to get through the Twins and the Indians, both of whom we've got projected to finish ahead of them. And it's a crowded American League this year. There's a lot of strength at the top.
Well, do you think that the potential of this scandal, this whatever this ends up being, do you think this will reverberate throughout Major League Baseball?
I mean, I think it's something the league's dealing with internally. I think they'll be probably watching things pretty carefully. From our perspective, it hasn't had much of an impact. We opened the Astros at 99.5 over-under wins this year. We actually kicked them down to 97.5 when they lost Garrett Cole. But that's pretty much all the movement we've seen so far.
All right. Well, you know, listen, bettors are dead on. Like a dog's eyes. Andrew Menino, thank you so much. PointsBet.com and Hawthorne, sports betting partner. Hawthorne and their three other OTBs are going to be doing sports books as soon as those licenses come through. And I just would like to get the Illinois legislature, whoever the hell it is, that has to get that. Let's get that done. All right, Andrew.
Well, hey, thanks for having me, guys. Look forward to seeing you soon.
Thank you very much. Andrew. Appreciate your time. All right, we'll a little more detail on this on the other side. Yeah. First, let's check in now. Here's Lauren Lapka for her last report of the skies and the roads right now. Rokon Show right here, 720 WGN. We were just talking to the sports bet analyst we're going to make him the official sports betting bookie of the Rokon Show, Andrew Menino from PointsBet.com. That's an unpaid position, by the way, in case anybody's wondering. Richard Roper is here. Yeah. Kevin and Lauren are here. We're going to talk a little bit about what happened here. All right, so at the Super Bowl, the numbers came out. The prop bet numbers aren't out yet. They generally are pretty stable every year for the over-under on the length of the national anthem.
It's always around 2 minutes.
Right, heads or tails, first team to score, things like that. Those generally tend to be pretty standard.
Well, and I think what we were talking about, too, you mentioned, Roe, with these two big play defenses, there's always, you can bet on whether or not there'll be a defensive touchdown or a special teams touchdown or a safety defense, and you get good odds. You know, defensive touchdown, you'll get like 12-1. That might not be a bad bet this year, because you could see a Richard Sherman picking off a pass or one of the 49ers picking up a loose ball in the, you know, the backfield, quarterback fumbles and running it in. Wouldn't be surprised to see that.
All right.
So there.
I think those numbers are going to change, too. And things can happen in these next 2 weeks. You know, it's really those last couple of days when people remember, as he mentioned, last year, the Rams were prohibitive favorites on this day, right after the AFC and NFC championships. And then the Patriots came charging back and then, of course, ended up winning the game in terms of just the bettors. As you know, the nation started moving toward New England.
Yeah, the early bets tend to be who looked the most impressive in the championship games or in the run-up to the playoffs. And the Chiefs have been so incredible. The way they're racking up the points.
Right.
I wouldn't be surprised to see the Niners end up being a point and a half favorite.
And sometimes in market size, too.
Yes.
So L.A., obviously, bigger than Boston. But, I mean, I don't know that they're so fevered Rams fans there as they once were. And, you know, Boston, New England's obviously got a very large fan
base. Patriots always, with the Super Bowl, you could throw everything out because people would just bet so much on TB12.
Right. But in L.A. last year, right after they won the NFC Championship, all the big money bettors in Los Angeles just dumped a bunch of money into Las Vegas. And they were dumping, you know, tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of dollars on the bets, and that's why it moved it. Everything.
I didn't realize that Jared Goff was Mitch Trubisky in a Rams uniform.
Here's the issue, though. Mm. And I'm very sad to say this to Lauren and to Kevin. Mm. I'm worried about this. Because the Chicago White Sox, we were talking about this when the White Sox made their last series of big moves in the offseason. And baseball starts again here in March with our beloved Chicago White Sox. And these guys have the White Sox at 84.5 wins. Now that takes them over 500, mm-hmm. right? So that's a step in the right direction. Mm-hmm. But I think a lot of people were expecting a little bit closer to 90. I know that Kevin certainly did.
No, I didn't. I had them right about mid-80s, about 85, 86 wins. So.
Well, I mean, last year it was 71, I think, you know, was the projected win total. I mean, and you got to remember, too, as you guys know, when these bookies are setting these lines, they're not doing because they, you know, are fans. They're trying to find the number that will get 50% action on either side of the number. They're saying this is what we expect these teams to do. Exactly. You know, that's their science. And it's interesting because the Cubs are only a couple of games ahead. You know, 2016, the Cubs were the over-under on the Cubs was like 98.
Right. They're at 86 this year.
So the Sox and my home paper, the Sun-Times, had a big, you know, section this weekend saying that, you know, it's becoming more of a White Sox town in terms of optimism and enthusiasm.
Lauren, where were you on this?
Optimistically feeling over.
That, see? Were you? But you were like at 88. Am I confusing the two of you? Weren't you at 88?
Maybe.
89?
No, I think I was also about mid-80s.
Okay.
Well, as Andrew was mentioning, you know, the Twins were, you know, loaded last year. They're hitting a million home runs. And the Indians are pretty good. So those, both of those teams are projected by the bookies to finish ahead of the Sox. The good news is the Sox get to play the Royals and the Tigers more than 30 combined times as division rivals.
One of the reasons you're not seeing it closer to 90 is because much of these predictions are predicated on what have players actually proven or done for you. So for us, it's very you can look at the roster and look at Luis Robert, but he's never played a day in Major League Baseball. Michael Kopech hasn't had a full season. Dylan Cease hasn't had a full season.
Good point. Yeah.
So the talent is all there, but if they don't progress throughout the year and perform the way we think they can, that's you're looking at a major hole there. So I think that's one reason you're not seeing it closer to 90, despite having the amount of talent they do have on the roster, is that there's unproven talent.
Well, Kev, you're right, and I think outsiders, look, we know how talented even, you know, Jimenez, but he was kind of under the radar compared to some other rookies last year, and then a lot of outsiders don't believe Tim Anderson will ever have a year like he had, and we know Moncada has, you know, superstar talent, but, you know, there are a lot of, again, people that didn't really follow, because the White Sox, it's not like they were on a lot of national games last year. They will be this year. So a lot of the guys who had breakthrough seasons did it under the radar, which is why we're the smart ones and know they're actually going to win 90 games.
I would bet the over for sure.
The White Sox to win the World Series, they opened at plus 8,000.
80 to 1. In other words, for every dollar you bet.
Right. Yeah. So it's 80 to 1. They opened at 80 to 1. They're now 30 to 1.
Yeah. Because you see 80 to 1, how many people you think, like, well, why not? Look how improved they've been this offseason. You never know.
Yeah.
So that's why you see it lower there, too. But yeah, why not? I mean, if everything clicks this year for the Sox, I expect them to be right there in the, for the division title and for the playoffs.
The key, I think, is the first couple months of the season.
Yeah.
You know, the first, if they, because the Sox historically have not been, I mean, it has varied, but not the fastest starting team other than when they had powerhouse clubs. So you don't want to get in that hole where you're 7-16, you know, but they come breaking out, a little 15-5 start. Then the momentum rolls, the crowds go, Cavs out there throwing out a first pitch, Lawrence catching it, all kinds of stuff can happen.
Well, you look at 2018, Sox won 62 games. They had a 10-game improvement in terms of wins. They won 72 last year.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to figure, okay, you just sort of expect a 10 more wins this year alone, just from these guys playing another season. They had a 10-game improvement without adding like any free agents, at least any major splash free agency. Look what they did this offseason. So you got to figure 10 to 15 win improvement.
Cubs are 24 to 1. And the Cubs opened at 20 to 1, and they went up in a way. I think that there's a lot of people who, in the betting world, who look at the Cubs and a lot of the stuff that's happened. They didn't really make a bunch of moves in the offseason. And, I mean, you got a new skipper who's a celebrity, essentially. I don't know. Celebrities have become very
good
important.
Dancer. One of the better dancing managers that we've got there now.
So, man, but the Yankees are the Yankees are 3.5 to 1.
Baseball has become very much like the NBA, where you have the haves and the real have-nots. You've got all these elite clubs like the, you know, the Dodgers and the Astros and teams like that, and then you have teams like the Baltimore Orioles, who are one of the worst teams in Major League history right now and have been for a couple of years. And teams like the Tigers, the Orioles, are going to lose 100 games again or more.
Will the White Sox make the playoffs? Will they get into the wild card game? I start with you, Lauren Lapka.
Again, optimistically, I would say yes.
Yes. See? Yes. Mm-hmm. There's the right answer. Kevin Powell.
Yeah, I think they'll be in the postseason.
I'm afraid to ask this. Richard Roper.
Yeah, wild card. But once you get in.
It's true.
You never know.
All right. There we go. I think we've worked it all out now because the odds were just released today. So this is a very important, this is an important day for the better, because, and they know it. These next 2 weeks are the biggest, other than March Madness, these are the biggest 2 weeks of betting of the second biggest period of time.
Yes.
For wagering in Las Vegas.
Your locks this year are the Chicago White Sox and Brad Pitt, ladies and gentlemen. Parlay them if you get a chance.
Right? Is there somebody who's doing that? There is a casino that's taking Oscars.
I think in New Jersey they're trying to see if they can get that all worked out so you can actually place bets on the Academy Awards.
Oh, that's very interesting.
Ooh, makeup is going to be just a brawl this year, man. Right. I don't know who's going to win.
Thank you, Richard Roper.
Thank you.
We can read him in the Chicago Sun-Times. We've got Justin Kovic on your way now.
Radio Chicago.